Trump has come out, and Trump tends to do what he says he's going to do. He's very serious about things.
The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. It's not only Nigeria, it's all over. We stand ready, willing, and able to save our great Christian population around the world. This is not going to happen. The killing of Christians is not going to happen.
And that's the religion of peace.
The entire purpose of Islam, according to all Islamic doctrine, is to ensure that there is an Islamic state throughout the entire world called a caliphate, and under that, Sharia or Islamic law is the law of the land. That's it. Islam breaks the entire world into two parts. The Dar al-Islam, where Sharia is the law of the land, and the Dar al-Harb, the house or abode of war, where there is not Sharia as the law of the land. The function of Islam is to eliminate the Dar al-Harb until the entire world is a Dar al-Islam. And the vehicle to do that is called what? Jihad, which in 100% of all published Islamic law is only defined as warfare against non-Muslims.
It is the government's fault, isn't it? They took away stop and search because of woke. They actually stopped policing the dealing and possession of psychosis-inducing drugs within certain communities because of woke. They leave our borders wide open, enabling foreign cartels to run organized crime leading to violence on our streets, from snatchings to muggings to stabbings, because of woke. They've imported in tens of thousands of misogynistic men who want to assault, abuse, leer at, harass, even rape our women and girls, because of woke.
The government says it's not terrorism. Islamic terrorism does not exist, and you will be arrested if you say it.
Arresting you on suspicion of improper use of the electronic communications network.
What? Over 12,000 people per year are arrested in the UK because of their social media posts. That's over 1,000 people per month detained and questioned because they're believed to have caused distress, offence, annoyance, or anxiety, not even necessarily to a specific victim, but it can be to society at large. This is under Section 127 of the Communications Act and Section 1 of the Malicious Communications Act.
Listen, you have to resign Keir Starmer, and there needs to be a general election in the UK. You are not protecting the British people. How many people have to die? How many innocent Britons have to die before you'll get your shit together?
So Keir Starmer has said it's deeply concerning what happened in Huntingdon, Cambridgeshire, on the train tonight, where 9 people are fighting for their life. Deeply concerning, is it? Not disgusting. Not outrageous. Not this shouldn't be happening.
And the problem that you've got is, when you're a psychopath, for whatever reason, you, as an innocent person, don't have to do anything to wind them up and find yourself stabbed in the head. Normally, if you get into a fight, some kind of altercation, what it means is you had some kind of row, so you prepared for some kind of row, or road rage row, where that person might jump out the car for a fight, but you know what's coming. But if you're just a psychopath, you don't have to wind them up. They're already wound up.
And of course, your Home Secretary, this lady Mahmoud, doesn't want you to comment and speculate on the matter. Well, excuse me, it kind of looks like the real racists in the UK are Muslim people who hate white Christians, who want to stab them in these kinds of horrific attacks. You don't see white people doing this.
As the Quran says, God does not burden any soul with more than it can bear. We hope that you have a blessed and fulfilling Ramadan. Peace be upon you all.
As we've taken over the country, officially England's over.
Allahu Akbar.
A man has just been charged with murdering a woman who is let out of jail early by Keir Starmer under his early release scheme. He's let out 38,000 criminals and is planning to let out 10,000 more. When he started this, he was warned by MI5, by the National Crime Agency, by the heads of our police forces, that he was going to endanger the public. But he did it anyway.
This is a major alert. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of Tuesday, November 6, 2025. You only have until this Sunday, that's 3.5 days, to take part in the biggest sale ever at theAlexShowStore.com. Store-wide, 25% off on top of all the sales, like 50% off on all the supplements like Ultra, Methylene, Blue, and more. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it, they're on the site, and you fund this operation. Now, InfoWars is supposed to be shut down. They have a state receiver. Said it could be next week or next month. It's very close. But regardless, we have the Alex Show's network, and we will continue on. And your support is funding that operation as well. So get great products and be the reason we always stay on the air at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers as well. So many other deals. Take action now. That's thealexjonesstore.com. The coordinates of 1776 worldwide.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to the American Journal. Happy Monday, everyone. A lot going on all around the world today. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot to catch you up on. I was working overtime this weekend. I'm sure many of you saw on Axe, of course. And so I've got a lot to tell you about. We have a great lineup of guests joining us, though, today. Drea Humphrey is going to be joining the show. She's one of the incredible reporters over at Rebel News. She's been following this story that I think has a lot of people really just enraged right now. Many people couldn't understand what was going on in Canada over the weekend. Canada executed so many innocent animals for no reason. As many of you guys know, Canada has gone full-on communist. And sadly, they took it out on their ostriches, executing over 300 of them, it looks like. We've been kind of sifting through a lot of the information coming out from our northern neighbors, and she'll be joining us in just a few moments, in about 20 minutes, to break down the very latest there. I'll also be joined by Holly Kessler later in the program. She has been doing some incredible work at fighting Islam in the South. As many of you guys know, there is an Islamic takeover happening. And it's happening in red states. Most people don't even know it. And in Plano, Texas, somewhere where I live these days, Plano, Texas has a massive, massive issue related to this. It was called the East Islamic Plano Center. As many of you guys, or East Plano Islamic Center, I should say. It was one of the biggest stories to come out about the Islamic takeover. And it was catching national attention. Well, what happened there? Well, it looks like there's a massive issue because it looks like they're trying to rebrand their image, changing their name. That's according to the county judge who was overseeing their request to potentially expand operation. And we've got the very latest on that. So you're going to want to hear that with Holly Kessler joining us. She's also going to talk about what's going on in Georgia, because if you think it's just happening in Texas, you think it's just happening in New York City, I hate to tell you, it's happening all over the country, and you're probably just not even realizing it because nobody wants to talk about it. Everyone is really afraid to talk about the Islam issue that we have in this country. They are afraid of what will happen, the organizations that will go after them, start targeting them and their families. And so that is the reason why so many people are too fearful to cover the topic. But of course, you know, here on InfoWars, we are not fearful. And we will bring you the information as it comes down. Also, speaking of information, I know a lot of you saw a report that came out over the weekend. And it was in The Blaze, Steve Baker's report. Steve Baker, a good friend of this show, of course. We're going to break down everything that's going on behind the scenes because I'm hearing a lot. We're trying to filter our way through all the information and bring you all of the information that we know what's happening behind the scenes so you can make your own decision. It's in regards to the J6 pipe bomber. They've named a suspect who they believe is the person who was behind the pipe bomb situation that took place on January 6th. But folks, there's a lot of people saying that this is possibly not the person who was responsible for this. Again, we're going to sift through the information. And I also tried reaching out to the woman who they accuse of being the pipe bomber as well. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But first, let's talk about what's going on today at the White House. President Donald Trump is meeting with a so-called former Al-Qaeda leader today. He is the person who is leading Syria. As many of you guys know, Syria was taken over after a very long war, which has led to Christians being slaughtered because they are jihadists. And sadly, for some reason, today at 11 a.m. Eastern time, the president of the United States will be meeting with the Syrian leader, who, if you remember, Joe Biden told us that, oh, now Syrians are going to have a shot at democracy. They're going to be able to elect their leaders. And then this guy smiled and said, yes, you are. And then a couple of months later, he said, oh, we don't have time for an election. I am your leader, and that's it. So he is the one who's now going to be making his way to the White House. We will bring that to you when it begins, of course, and it's expected to begin at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Also later today, President Donald Trump is swearing in the ambassador for the Republic of India. That's expected to be at 3 p.m. Eastern time as well. So we will cover that if anything does come our way. But we're trying to dig into a lot. Now, last night, okay, I fall asleep really early, folks. I usually try to put my phone away around 8 o'clock, and it always kicks me in the butt a little bit, because the next morning I woke up and I realized this morning I missed the big one. President Trump issuing a bunch of pardons for those who have been wrongfully accused, of course, of trying to push back and challenge the 2020 election. They said that they were trying to steal our democracy. These were actually just a group of great patriots who were doing their very best to push back and to fight back on the issue. But sadly, those on the left were doing everything possible to hide the fact that the 2020 election was in fact stolen. Again, let me repeat that. The election was stolen. But for the communist pigs who were a part of the theft, well, they wanted to do their very best to go after these great patriots. And so they spent a very long time doing just that, bankrupting a lot of these people, trying to bankrupt even more. But President Trump stepping in now and giving them a federal pardon. Again, folks, this is federal. This is not something that is going to affect the Arizona case. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But he's officially pardoned great people like Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, Mark Meadows, Tyler Bauer, Christina Bobb, Boris Epstein, Sidney Powell, Jeff Clark, Kelly Ward, and her husband as well, Michael. Even to that list, this is how you know he's not a bitter person. Jenna Ellis. Remember her? Yeah, she's the one who decided that she was going to turn against President Trump and make up what we assume would be lies, given the fact that President Trump did not commit any crimes, but she sat there and cried like a pig. But President Trump, being a good man, one who does not hold grudges, gave her a federal pardon. So he's now saved her twice. Once when she was a traffic attorney and he elevated her career by allowing her to represent him. And now a second time by providing her with that pardon so she doesn't have to feel the need to potentially mislead people into thinking crimes were actually committed when they were in fact not. That's the good news. Now, when it comes to those who are being persecuted, there is still a laundry list of people who are being targeted in Arizona. But good news, potentially good news, the Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays appears to be very potentially open to the idea of dropping that fake elector case that she's brought on. Take a listen to clip one and how she details just that.
I want to end with the next 2 weeks. You have a decision to make on the so-called fake electors case. Supreme Court has said either you appeal it or it is gone. It is over. What are you going to do?
So I'm not going to announce that on your show.
A Maricopa County judge's ruling in May delivered a serious setback to May's prosecutors. If she doesn't decide to keep going by November 21st, the Arizona Supreme Court will toss out the case.
The one thing I do know for sure, Bram, is that I am so proud of the prosecutors and investigators in the Attorney General's office, and I'm proud of the work we did on that case.
Similar fake electors prosecutions in other states, stemming from alleged attempts to subvert Joe Biden's election victory in 2020, are also on thin ice.
You told me about a month or two ago, when I asked you the same question in very strong terms, isn't standing up for democracy important enough?
Exactly.
And so it sounded to me like you weren't going to give it up.
I mean, look, I certainly don't want to give it up. It is certainly not something that I want to do.
You heard that there, folks. It's not something that she wants to do, but here she is going to have to do it. Why? Well, because she didn't have a case in the first place. She didn't have a case in the first place. She decided to take it upon herself to push back, to make up these lies, and this is what happens on a reoccurring basis with these people. Folks, they tried their very best in Arizona to lock up their political opposition, even arresting and criminally prosecuting the chairwoman of the Arizona GOP. Folks, they had no boundaries. They went after everyone. Dr. Kelly Ward is an incredible patriot. She never deserved to go through this, neither did her husband. I'm sure the financial burden in itself has been unbearable for not only her, but others. Accountability needs to come to those who decided to use lawfare against innocent people who were just doing their best and what they were legally allowed to do. Anyone who tells you otherwise is a damn liar. So it's great to see President Trump issuing these federal pardons. But again, let me remind you, these pardons don't help those who are charged at a state level. It also does not reimburse them for all of the lawfare, which is very, very expensive. Very, very expensive. Your entire retirement, everything is completely drained. Whatever you have in your house, everything is gone. These people need to be held accountable. They need to feel what they have done to others so we can ensure that this doesn't happen again. They had every right to challenge the 2020 election. We all know it was stolen. We know that President Trump won. We know that Joe Biden, who was campaigning from his basement, only allegedly won because of mail-in ballots and because of other things too. So time and time again, folks, we're going to continue to highlight just that. It's refreshing to see that the president has issued these pardons. But again, it doesn't exactly give immunity to everyone for every legal battle that they're currently fighting. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. The government shutdown, we're still waiting. We hear that there is possibly going to be an agreement reached, but it's not official yet. I want you to listen to clip two, because the Senate leader, Thun, is out here talking about the time being now to come to the table, finalize this, and so we could all move on and go about our way. Take a listen.
Mr. President, after 40 long days, I'm hopeful that we can finally bring the shutdown to an end. And I don't need to go over all the reasons why it's imperative that we get the government open as soon as possible. From the truly precarious situation we are in with regard to air travel to the fact that our staffs have been working without pay for a full 40 days now, all of us, Republicans and Democrats, who support this bill know that the time to act is now. And so in just a few minutes, I will call up the vehicle for a clean continuing resolution packaged with three bipartisan year-long appropriations bills, agricultural appropriations, military construction, VA appropriations, and legislative branch appropriations. These bills will fund SNAP for the entire fiscal year. They will fund WIC for the entire fiscal year. And they will fund our veterans for the entire fiscal year. After 40 days of uncertainty, I'm profoundly glad to be able to announce that nutrition programs, our veterans, and other critical priorities will have their full year funding.
As you heard Thune out there outlining all of the details behind what they've apparently agreed to, people like Chuck Schumer and Cliff 3 aren't very happy about that. In fact, Schumer's fired up. He wants to shut down the last forever. Take a listen.
Donald Trump has taken the American people hostage, from cutting off food, aid to hungry families and vets and seniors and kids, to manufacturing flight cancellations, to cutting off home heating aid, while he builds a billion-dollar ballroom with gold-plated toilets. Therefore, I must vote no. This health care crisis is so severe, so urgent, so devastating for families back home that I cannot in good faith support this CR that fails to address the health care crisis. But let me be clear, however this vote turns out, this fight will and must continue. Democrats must fight because of millions of families will lose health care coverage. We must fight because children who are dying of cancer will not get health care coverage. We must fight because a senior citizen cannot afford to pay $25,000 a year just for health insurance. We must fight to keep millions from financial ruin. And make no mistake about it, the American people know who is inflicting this health care trauma on them, Donald Trump and the Republicans.
I didn't believe any of that. He is full of you know what, and of course he is doing it for political theatrics. Political theatrics. Oh, children with cancer can't get treatment. That's a lie. He knows it. He is focused on illegal aliens, and that is what he is arguing for just there. See, Democrats knew that they could use all of this for leverage, and that was always their gig. They wanted to make sure that they could hold this over Republicans' heads, even though they know they need, obviously, Democrat support in the Senate. They knew, and they said the quiet part out loud, that they were doing all of this theatrical government shutdown for, what, almost 40 days now, because this was their time. This was their leverage. They don't control the three branches of government. And so now, through this CR, they are going to hold the American people hostage. But don't take my word for it. No. We've got a reel. Take a listen to clip four and how Democrats have openly said we're using this moment to use as leverage.
We need to do this while we have the leverage.
Of course, there will be, you know, families that are going to suffer. But it is one of the few leverage times we have.
You reopen the government and we lose our leverage. There has to be an agreement right now. That's what this whole shutdown is about.
Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House. Frankly, this is our only moment of leverage.
The idea that you would give up all of your leverage and then hopefully get some sort of great deal coming down the pike is just a fool's errand.
Why are working families the leverage the Democrats need to get Obamacare fixed?
It's the only lever we have.
Democrats have this one little sliver right now when we've got some leverage here.
Some Republicans, Senator, have pushed a bill that would pay government workers.
I think that just gives the president more leverage.
Catherine was basically expressing, in her own words, the notion that our leverage right now are our votes.
Them wanting to solve the problem that we want to solve, but do it in a couple of days or a couple of weeks when we've given up our negotiating leverage.
Without that leverage, the minority party, you know, would be stuck in the mud and not basically have anything to negotiate.
You heard it from them directly. This is all about leverage. And they're using Americans because they're looking to bring in and fund their illegal aliens, of course. Folks, I want to shift gears a little bit to something that was very trendy on X earlier this weekend, folks. You probably saw it. At about 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Eastern time, I should say, a story dropped from The Blaze, and it was a very, very big story. But hear me out, folks. You know I love Steve Baker. You know we have him on the show quite often, and I have been in contact with Steve throughout all of this. It was about the J6 pipe bomber, and many of you guys probably saw it. They have listed, and we'll be very vague with this, but they have listed a suspect that they have said that they believe truly is the J6 pipe bomber, and they might be spot on. But those in government right now are disputing the facts. They're disputing what The Blaze claims are the facts. So The Blaze used a program to look at the walk of the pipe bomber and kind of analyze it to someone who they have then put their footage of them walking. And according to them, this program that they utilized, okay, is a program that has over 90% accuracy rate. But there's still a margin of error there. So we have to be direct. And then there's also the claims that Kyle Serafin, who, you know, we all love here as well, the FBI whistleblower, who claims that he was surveilling the home next door in reference to the J6 pipe bomber investigation. Those are the claims that are being made right now by The Blaze. Now, I did promote both Steve's article, obviously, and the information that he put out there. And as a journalist who tries their very best to not insert my bias into any of this, because you guys know damn well I would love for us to out whoever this pipe bomber is, I did reach out to all parties involved for comments. That includes, obviously, you know, National Intelligence, FBI, DOJ, CIA, because this person who they're accusing of doing all of this is a Capitol Police officer at the time, who they're alleging is now working for the CIA. I've confirmed that, yes, they do actually work for the CIA, the person that they've listed. But they're telling me, four people told me that they think that this person's name might not be right. Now, again, I'm giving you all this information so you could decide for yourself, because this could be a massive deception campaign. And it could be that the sources who are talking to me aren't even aware of it. They might actually be being fed bad information by those who do not want us to get to the bottom of this investigation. But in fairness, I have to say, four people who I've spoken to, four sources who I do find to be highly respectful, have said that this isn't the person. Also, we saw that Ed Martin, who obviously is the weaponization department's leader over there at the DOJ, came out and he did say prior to The Blaze releasing their article that he does not think or has not ID'd these suspects is pretty much what we're getting at with this. Yesterday I did hear directly from the FBI too, because nobody wanted to go on the record with me. And it was very, very infuriating because I just want to put out all of the information that we know is factually true. The FBI sending me comment late last night saying the investigation into who placed the pipe bombs on Capitol Hill on January 5th remains a high priority for the FBI and our law enforcement partners. A $500,000 reward remains in effect for information leading to the arrest and prosecution of the individual who placed the bombs. So hear me out. There's a lot of reasons why the FBI could potentially be lying to me, lying to you. They could be lying to us, because let's be honest, they don't really like Kyle Serafin too much. That's something that we have to be truthful with. Obviously, Kyle goes out there and he's very critical of the FBI, and rightfully so. He obviously has a pending lawsuit with the FBI director's girlfriend. We know that. So the FBI might not be telling us the truth, but we don't know that. And so as a journalist who does not work for CNN or MSNBC, I don't put my own bias into this. I lay out the facts and tell you to decide for yourself. I'll tell you now, again, four people who I find to be highly credible individuals have told me that they do not believe that this woman who is being accused of being the suspect is the person. Now, again, they could be getting fed bad information. We need to see more evidence from the Blaze. That's the big part here. Also, in order to be as fair as possible, which you know I love to be, I try my very best to be as fair as I can to all parties involved in stories like this, I actually did reach out to the person who they are accusing of being the pipe bomber, and I did call her and I did text her twice. She did not take my call. In fact, she had some type of like filter service on it where you state your name, and if she doesn't want to take your call, she sends you to voicemail. And then halfway through my voice message, I got hung up on. But I still followed up with two text messages. Also, her email addresses, the ones that we were able to locate online, are now listed as inactive. So what do I make from all of this? I don't know. I'm not here to tell you whether or not someone is the pipe bomber. I want to see more evidence, obviously, and I respect everything that Steve Baker does. I know he's put a lot of hours and hard work into this. But I also want to hear and give everyone on each side a fair shake. Now, again, do I trust any three-letter agency? Absolutely not. But is this potentially a major, major, major campaign to discredit Steve Baker's work? Yes. And if so, that cover-up, again, is a scandal. So I'm going to report from every side possible and bring you all of the evidence continuously, of course, but I'm not going to insert my own bias into this because, as many of you know, if you watch the show, I'm very critical of the FBI as well. Kyle Serafin's not alone on that one. So we'll continue to bring you all the facts, of course. Let you, the American people, decide for yourselves while being respectful, of course, and finding out whether or not this woman is, in fact, the woman behind the pipe bomber story. Again, I don't even know if the government would truly tell us if she was. If it was me, I probably would have held out the name for a little bit, held their feet to the fire a little bit, said, I'll release it if you don't. If you guys don't make a move, we'll make a move ourselves. But that's not how things played out. Wasn't my story. So now we'll continue to support Steve Baker, of course. We'll continue to report on all sides of this story. All right, don't go anywhere. There is more to discuss. A lot of corruption in Canada we've got to talk about, so don't go anywhere.
I'm cutting this emergency announcement on the evening of Thursday, November 6, 2025. Ladies and gentlemen, just type InfoWars or Alex Jones into a search engine. You'll read all about the federal courts, the state courts, the receiver that's been appointed to come in and shut us down. He was here today. He said it might be next week. It might be in early December. They haven't decided when to shut us down. But we've set up the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X, Bill Alex Jones, Rumble. We have the new studios, new news sites we're going to be announcing and launching. The InfoWar lives on through you and I and the crew and everybody else. But right now, we need funds to keep InfoWars on the air just for the foreseeable future and for the new network, because the bad guys can't get the AlexJonesTour.com, because Bigley established for many, many, many years, dozens and dozens of major clients. They build the best quality shopping carts with the very best products, and they are our sponsor. So when you go to the alexshowstore.com, there is a huge sale that is only running until Sunday at midnight. So you got like 3 days, 3.5 days. Any supplement you get, ultramethylene blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular, ultimate life force. We have it all. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research it for yourself. We have the best at thealexshowstore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. You can buy it once, cancel if you want, but get it first. You have a month to cancel. I know you're going to love it, and then keep it on auto ship. But bottom line, you get 50% off. Also, if you're a VIP, $30 a month, just like Amazon Prime, you get $40 to spend instantly in the store. Special deals, special sales, special offers just to you, and massive percentages off on everything. So if you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. But right now, at thealexshowstore.com, on top of that, this is what ends Sunday, 25% off on top of all those sales. That makes many of these loss leaders. And then there's all the widest selection of Patriot apparel, T-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, you name it. Wearing Patriot gear out in the public is an incredible adventure. It's like being Donald Trump or Alex Jones or Steve Bannon. Go out and do it. Experience it yourself and know your focus operation. You have kept us on the air despite all the attacks and Arctic frost that's come out. We're all under attack because the bad guys hate us. But despite all those attacks, we're still here. And InfoWars lives on through the Alex Jones Network and through all of you. So take action right now. The sale goes until Sunday evening at midnight, Central Standard Time. Probably the biggest sale in the history of Bigley. AlexJonesStore.com. Have to check the other sales of other big ones. But 50% off on all the supplements and 25% off on top of it. Oh, and it gets more insane. Anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at AlexJonesApp.com. It's free. It's the same shopping cart on your phone or the app on your computer. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bigley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app when we have the sales going. But because we have an 80-plus percent reorder rate on things like ultramethylene blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore right now. The sale ends Sunday, thealexshowstore.com. Thanks for being the reason we'll always stay on the air. You are the InfoWar. I'm the InfoWar. We're a family, 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
They don't have the right fake headlights on us for a fucking month, and now they're going to hide in the dark while they're massacring my beautiful babies, healthy babies, and they're suffering. They are committing, breaking the Animal Health Act. They are suffering. They don't shoot, die in one shot unless you hit them in the head. They're killing my babies. Help me. Help me.
Devastating news yesterday, or over the weekend, I should say. We saw this play out, and I know so many of you on social media were absolutely devastated to hear that the ostriches in Canada were actually slaughtered by the government. It's all over hysteria regarding the bird flu. We've seen that. We've covered it on this show here in the United States. Millions of birds that were healthy were killed throughout the Biden regime years. Millions. Millions. And the government never has to answer to any of it here in the United States. But watching it unravel, Canada, which is absolutely devastating. The ostriches obviously are beautiful, beautiful animals. And sadly, they were killed. This is after a kind of a long ongoing legal battle. The Supreme Court not really weighing in much over there. But, you know, here in the United States, we tried our very best to advocate to stop all of this. There are reports that RFK Jr. himself sent a letter over to the CFIA, urging them specifically not to kill these animals, not to kill these birds. Even Dr. Oz tried stepping in and saying, hey, listen, I could take these birds in. I've got a farm out in Florida. We could take these birds in. You don't have to kill them. But sadly, for some reason, the government, the Supreme Court in Canada, just decided not to even hear the final appeal. And then they were executed. Joining me right now is a woman who has been covering this extensively, and she's done an incredible job at just that. Drea Humphrey joins the show. She's an incredible reporter over at Red Bull News, and we're honored to have her on today because she's done an incredible job at speaking to the farmers, speaking to those on the ground, and then being there, sadly, when all of this took place. Drea, I want to thank you for being with us. This is really, as an animal lover myself, my dogs, my pets, I love them so much. I couldn't even imagine what it was like for these farmers to have to sit there and listen to this all happening, and it happened in the dark. And this, I think, just highlights how corrupt and evil the government is, that they were able to carry this out. They didn't want anyone to physically see what was going on. But the aftermath was just horrendous. Give us some of the backstory as to what actually happened here, because I don't think a lot of Americans understand what took place.
Well, first, I want to thank you and the show for taking the time to shed some light on the horrific act that took place this past weekend, but it has been nearly a year in the making. Mm-hmm. In fact, last year was when this healthy herd of hundreds of prehistoric ostriches had an illness pass through their flock, a year ago, November. Mm-hmm. And in December, upon an anonymous tip, because the farmers thought it was a, and their vet thought that it was an illness that they had had before, a bacterial thing, and that's how they were treating and such, an anonymous tip brought the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, it's important to hold on to that, mm-hmm. onto their premises. They tested two deceased carcasses and said, okay, you've got avian flu, and that means all of the flock have to die. So that was December of last year where that was said. And the farmer said, well, wait a minute here. Most of these birds are healthy. They're asymptomatic. These are not chicken. You know, these birds can live for 60 years. Some of them walking around we've had for 25 to 30 years. Could we please test the living? Because the vast majority of them look fine. And so that was the farmer's plight that has gone on for over 10 months, and to the point where it's quite obviously that they had been healthy and recovered. The farm did everything right. They invited people to come there, see the birds, see that they're dancing, see that they're playing, see that they're healthy. People camped out there for nearly a year. People went back and forth. I went there and stayed there about 6 weeks at a time. But what took place since September 22nd was on the taxpayer dimes, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, accompanied by the RCMP. It's the biggest operation for sure in British Columbia this year, maybe Canada, where you saw 100 officers, you know, switch off through the day to descend on this farm September 22nd. Now, the key of that was the Canadian Food Inspection Agency was trying to beat the farm. They knew very well the farm was going to try to take this matter to Supreme Court. They tried to race them to beat that. And while they had seized much of their land, their herd, and were setting up, the farm secured with their lawyer, Omar Sheikh, a emergency stay. And during that stay, they separated the farmers, they arrested two of the farmers, and they stayed on their land, put up a huge fence for nearly 50 days before the Supreme Court gave its decision, and that was handed down, and they did that through the night, as you mentioned.
It's really hard to imagine on how the government, and I know obviously this is different than the United States, but how they are able to seize land, and then we're going to go into detail about this later in the interview as well, on another means that they're doing when it comes to seizing land. But I want to talk about this specifically. How are they able to seize land and block off people who own the land, who own the farm itself, from gaining access to their own animals? How are they legally able to do this?
Well, this is what is interesting. The warrant came from the Health of Animal Act, and the RCMP was deferring to that. And they not only seized the farm's land, they seized the neighbor's land without even handing a warrant to them. These neighbors had been out of town and came home to it slapped on their door, not even addressed to them. And so all of this is being done by entities that we don't elect, bureaucrats that are handing down these decisions, to one point when the neighbor said, you know, we don't understand how we can't harvest our garlic crop. They said that the CFIA, by they, I mean the RCMP, said the CFIA have been gracious enough to allow you in your home. And they texted her back saying, we don't want the CFIA to authorize your arrest. So it is the bureaucrats who are authorizing the arrest. And I wanted to mention, since I said it was a food inspection agency, that in the last handful of years, this farm transitioned from food to oil, which what they were doing with some of their birds, not all of them, into science. So it wasn't even an operation for food in the last handful of years. They were working together for viral therapeutics with Japan, actually with the United States and with Canada. They believed during COVID, they had neutralized the COVID-19 vaccine. Funny enough, the Canadian government wasn't too interested in that antibody research. And so part of the farm's argument was, well, if it's true they've had the avian flu, why would we slaughter them? They now have the robust antibodies in those antibody-rich eggs, as ostriches have. So why would you slaughter the science along with this herd? And of course, that is where the United States stepped in. I am blown away. In Canada, we are told we're in a trade war and that our Prime Minister, Mark Carney, is going to get us a deal and he's the man for the job. That's why they elected the Liberals for the fourth time out here. And we saw your top medical professionals, your Secretary of Health, Robert Kennedy Jr., do not one but two letters to our government saying, please, we will partner on the science with you guys. We believe that this flock is worth more alive than dead. Your FDA got involved. You know that your head of Medicare, Dr. Oz, offered his ranch in Florida to have the birds come there. And yet our Liberal government still slaughtered this healthy flock and the science that could have been key to combating the stamping out policy that has been destroying many farms out here in British Columbia.
Yeah, it's really gut-wrenching, and I think it's more of a power move on the government's part, the Canadian government's part, to show people that when they want to do this, they'll do it. I mean, there's nothing else really there. I don't understand the validation between why they did this when, you know, we were offering our resources to help out, and they just completely neglected to take on those resources. It's just gut-wrenching. And I want to play clip 12 because I know that Ezra spoke with the owners of that farm, and just hearing their side of all of this is really upsetting. Take a listen.
They were murdered a couple nights ago in the middle of the night by cowards. Professional.
Why at night?
Because they're hiding. They hid. They've been hiding since day one when they got here. Canadian Food Inspection Agency has never come to the front line.
I understand that they've never even met you, never even spoken to you on the phone, never. They don't even sign emails to you.
Nope. No signed emails, no phone calls, nothing. They hide behind the RCMP. They've cut off all of our security cameras. They hid in the back. They actually did a tactic. They went out there when they took over, and they started screaming, emergency, emergency. Got everybody panicked here just to see if there was anyone that they had to scare out of our pens.
Oh, my God.
And then ever since day one, they've hidden in the back in their motorhomes. When they first set up camp, they took their motorhomes and they put their motorhomes on the hottest part of the zone, right over where we were disposing of the supposed, the most virulent threat animals. And they parked their motorhomes on top. But because they were being watched and then everybody was doing their individual reporting, they moved their motorhome pretty quick.
The whole thing was public health theater, wasn't it?
It was a theatrical display of punishment.
That's right. I mean, even the shooting, the way they shot them at night with the searchlights, it seems like it was a shock and awe tactic.
Yeah. There's no coming back from this. Canadian Food Inspection Agency, there's no coming back from this. The world watched and they listened to those pops go all through the night. The heavens opened up and it poured rain. It just poured rain on these animals that were down there. They thought when they should have been resting, they were late. They were probably running for their lives, tripping over each other's bodies, frantically in fear and in panic. And all you heard was, it sounded, they brought war to our farm.
It brought war to reform. I mean, that just gives me the chills because, again, here in the United States, we wouldn't expect that from our own government. We don't trust our government, but this is a whole nother level of just a communist. I mean, this is just communism. There's no other way to say this, where they could just seize your land and do whatever they want with your animals. There's no other way to look at this. Drea, you were there when all this was playing out. What was it like having to stand by and listen to all of that?
Honestly, it was like a form of war. The tactics that rolled out. Now you have to put this in perspective. There was a peaceful protest in operation on the farm's private property for nearly a year. The RCMP had been sitting there physically for nearly 50 days. And while the shooting occurred just moments before everything switched, they all of a sudden blocked off the entrance into the farm, which separated supporters from each other. It caused hysteria. They turned off the lights that people normally relied on to walk into this very rural area back and forth, to the point that when I was capturing things, I walked right into a pole. As they were shooting, you're hearing all of these shots. You're hearing the screams, the blood-curdling screams of the farmers in different locations. I captured one of them just weeping on the ground as their babies were being slaughtered. It was quite emotional for myself as well. But they're hearing these shots. They got no warning about when it was going to happen. This was also taking place in a kill pen. It was pen hunting. I mean, that is actually illegal in like a province of Alberta. But here you have the state doing it. Again, not with chickens, but with animals that move extremely fast. So of course they were turning off the lights. Of course they waited till night. Of course they had banned, helicopters, because thanks to one of our supporters, we had previously flown in a helicopter to see what was going on when they set up. They banned helicopters from flying over. What you saw in some of the B-roll that you showed was CFIA agents literally walking up stairs, up their ladder, to seal off the cameras at the farm. They wanted to make sure the public wouldn't see what they were doing. And for the people who got separated on the highway to see from the other end, they started putting the floodlights out on the highway so you could see nothing but a light, hear the horror of the shots, hear the horror of the screams. And then the poor farmers woke up to over 300 of these healthy, robust ostriches that not a single one of them had ever been tested for the virus, completely slaughtered, and their livelihoods, everything they were excited to work for in the science, and their loved pets, some who they've had for over 20 years, completely annihilated.
Yeah, it's just demonic. There's no other way to look at this. These people are evil for doing this. There's no science that backs any of this. And this is just pure, pure evil. I just want to get your perspective before we move on to the next story about why the Supreme Court in Canada didn't want to weigh in. According to reports, they declined to hear the final appeal. Why was that?
Well, at the end of the day, I followed all of these cases. And the real issue here is the policy. This comes down to a World Health Organization, the World Organization of Animal Health, a foreign oligarch, globalist entity that is telling Canada, telling other nations how to go ahead and address this issue. So we have adopted that policy, that stamping out policy, and we have been mass culling for 20 years. They can come onto your land. You have no rights as a farmer on suspicion. They can show up. And by the way, the court records revealed that they used an overcycled PCR test on those two deceased carcasses in the ground with God knows what to determine they had the avian flu. So when these lower courts looked through it, it was a judicial review in the federal court. That was the beginning of it, to see if what the CFIA did at the time without testing the healthy animals was unlawful and more. And could they just test them? And, you know, the farmers were told, no, we're not going to test them. We don't have to test them because of this World Health Organization policy. And if you test them, you could be fined up to $200,000 and face 6 months in jail time. It seemed ludicrous. So they kept pursuing it in the courts. The Federal Court of Appeal dismissed it for similar reasons. And the Supreme Court looked it over. They did give them that emergency injunction and looked it over. And they found nope, there's nothing more to see here. So really it is the policy and the Canadian Food Inspection Agency's rigidness. There is no requirement for them not to test, for them not to pivot. And in the past, they've done, from what I can find at least 14 other exemptions for what almost seems like lesser reasons here. So I think this was, at the end of the day, a policy, a globalist policy. We're seeing that a lot. And we're seeing an agency that is unchecked, has endless amount of power that we can't elect or vote out. And that they were saying, there is no way we're going to let this farm tell us what to do and change our path here. We are going to use them as an example for other farmers. And boy, did they.
Yeah. And it costs over 300 ostriches their lives. And it's just really upsetting, especially watching the videos that you guys have taken of them just removing the bodies as if it was nothing. Those poor farm owners, I couldn't even imagine what they're going through, because you get to know your animals, and to have to sit there and just stand by and listen to that is just the trauma. It's just unbearable. I can't believe that even.
They're not wearing PPE. Look, yeah. The next day you can see everybody walking around moving the hay with no PPE on. It's all just a show.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. I remember I saw Ezra pointing to a truck that had just came out of the area, and there's hay all over. They're like, if they were so afraid, then why are they just letting trucks go in and out of here and move along without, you know, I mean, you would be worried that there's potential contamination here. And they're just not worried about that. So again, this had nothing to do with any type of health issue. This was just one of the commie power moves that we talk about quite often on this show of governments all abroad, trying their very best to flex that muscle and show what they can do and they will do. And speaking of that, you know, we've covered it here in the United States. We've seen these land grabs here in the U.S. We've covered it extensively, but you guys in Canada have yourself a heck of a fight. I know you just recently covered this story specifically, and I'll let you outline it, because it has a lot to do with homes being taken. And ultimately, homeowners are finding out until the very last minute that their titles were at risk. And they were never notified of this. So break down this latest story, because here in the United States, we haven't heard of this, but we've seen very similar stories, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is another threat to property rights. In some ways, that's what the farming story was too, though they were their pets, but also they are their property. So what we are seeing here, and this is shocking, we've essentially gone from compelled land acknowledgements to land appropriation for the first time in Canadian history. The Supreme Court of British Columbia has declared Aboriginal title over fee simple property. That's private property in a city called Richmond in the Lower Mainland, very close to Vancouver. In fact, that's where our Vancouver airport is. It's in Richmond. So there is so much to this. But in August, the Supreme Court came out with that decision, and the private landowners affected didn't even find out till last month that their property has now had Aboriginal title that supersedes their title. Remember, property rights are supposed to be a very secure asset that you can have if you're going to retire, maybe sell that bigger home, go into something smaller. You're supposed to be able to trust that when you buy your land, you have it. And now the Supreme Court of BC said that their land title is now invalid and defective. We're at a state where we don't even know exactly what this means, but I want to stress that this matter was before the courts. It was filed back in 2013, and these homeowners, about 150, were just told last month that they have Aboriginal title over their land. Now, the case was brought on, filed from the Cowichan tribes. They don't even reside in that area. And their argument is heavily based on oral testimonies claiming that, you know, they came through there and fished and picked some berries, and thus it is their land. And this, again, all points to another foreign globalist policy. In this case, it's the United Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People. It comes down from the UN. It's an aspirational framework. And our socialist, radical BC NDP government, which is much like the Liberals, we took that aspirational framework. We were the first jurisdiction to do this in the world. And in 2019, we adopted it as law binding, with the commitment to make all of our laws align with that radical framework that has quite a few sections about land, including saying that if it was ever used by Indigenous people, they have a right to that land. And now we're seeing, according to the BC Supreme Court, they do. Now, I have been covering UNDRIP, as I just said, and in BC we adopted as DRIPA for years. I have been called many names for warning people about doing land acknowledgements. I did not know that this particular city, as well as, of course, another that I'm now finding out, Port Coquitlam, which does Aboriginal, has a title claim on them too. They haven't even been doing a land acknowledgements like every other jurisdiction we hear all the time saying it on behalf of their citizens because of the court cases that they've been involved that the public had no clue of. And I want to put something else into perspective of what British Columbia is. We have about 5% Crown land. The rest is not. And so 95% of our province is currently being disputed over from over 200 First Nation band governments that are fighting with themselves about whose territory is whose. So the amount of land claims and title claims we're going to see come out now that this has stuck, it's being appealed. We can talk about that further. It's endless and it can affect the whole country. In fact, now we just know as we're starting to probe into other areas that the city of Kamloops is entirely being claimed for Aboriginal title. It's already been in the works. And many of you, maybe your American watchers also know that Kamloops is the same place where the false unmarked grave claims came out and then spread around the entire country. And that has really guilted people into upping their land acknowledgements, upping this whole, we're the bad colonizers. We're not really Canadians. They're not really Canada. And our own premier says that British Columbia essentially is a colonial mistake.
Yeah. Drea, we're going to continue to follow this because I know you're doing an incredible job and I want to point our audience in your direction as well. Folks, if you're not doing so already, head on over to our X page and give her a follow. Drea Humphrey is her X name. You're doing an incredible job over at Rebel News. We're big fans of you guys over there. You guys are incredible independent journalists and so we love to support all the great work you guys are doing. Thank you for joining us and thank you for helping us understand what's going on with our obviously neighbors up north. This was very enlightening and we look forward to following up with all of these stories as well. So Drea, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much again for covering this.
Thank you. Thank you. The guys are doing incredible work. So make sure you give them a follow. We just got breaking news. The Supreme Court is rejecting the appeal for that county clerk who sought to overturn the same-sex marriage decision. Now, it's very vague. It's just coming down now, but that was that Kentucky county clerk. We're waiting on more, obviously, in regards to that, but that is the information we have available right now. Folks, while we continue to watch that, of course, head on over in the meantime to the alexjonesstore.com because we have the buy one, get one free on methylene blue. It's going on for a couple more hours, of course, 25% off site-wide over at the alexjonesstore.com. More to discuss in just a moment.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
forged in the fires of liberty. The Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
American Journal. We're getting ready to kick off the second hour of the show. The first hour just flew by. We're very excited to have Drea Humphrey on the program from Rebel News. She did an incredible job at breaking down the very latest going on in Canada, and it's important to pay attention to what's going up to our going on with our neighbors up north again, because folks, it usually happens here. That story that you saw over the weekend, though, about the ostriches being slaughtered, over 300 of them, was just disgusting, disturbing, and just demonic. But it really highlights the communist overreach that's going on right now in Canada and all across the world, and how we get glimpses of it every now and then here in the United States, of course. And it's important that we focus on this. Again, I've been talking about the millions of birds that were killed under the Biden regime, and they use the same excuse. Oh, bird flu. These birds were healthy. There was no reason to kill them. Instead, what did it do? Well, it caused chicken prices to skyrocket. It also caused the price of eggs to skyrocket. There was never any accountability for those who decided to sacrifice American people and literally kill innocent birds for no apparent reason. And it's going on also in Canada. That's why it's really important to pay attention to that. We also told you we'll be, you know, following the updates in regards to the Supreme Court just deciding not to hear or overturn that same-sex marriage. As many of you guys know, that's been a long, ongoing, I think since like 2015, battle. So that's coming down. We're waiting for more details. Fox is quickly putting out that one liner there that you see on your screen. So we will follow that as it develops. But over the weekend, the Collin County judge, Judge Chris Hill, he put out a very alarming tweet so that everyone is knowing what's going on right now in Collin County. If you're not familiar, Collin County is located, specifically this area is located in Texas that I am referring to, and it is it was involving a very high-profile case. You probably remember EPIC. EPIC is the East Plano Islamic Center. Well, many have called into question as to why this group specifically purchased about, I think it was 400 acres of land in the region. And they're literally, I mean, all over this country, different groups, but obviously all the same religious belief backing, are the ones who are purchasing massive amounts of acreage all across the United States, mainly in Republican areas. And what are they doing with it? Well, they're looking to build Muslim compounds. And they can't flat out discriminate and say that those who are not Muslim can't live there. So those who are not Muslim will likely have to pay a tax that goes to the mosque. But what's been going on with EPIC is pretty alarming. I know I've gone to the hearing. I was there in front of Judge Chris Hill and watched as he heard from both sides in regards to this. And well, it was quite interesting. I sat in that courtroom, and we'll talk about it with Holly Kessler in just a moment, but I sat in that courtroom and listened to average Americans who live in the area, Texans who have had enough, outline their case. They don't want this 400-plus acres building up into a Muslim compound. And although they have not yet presented any plans, given an outline, blueprint, what they're looking to do, we know that they are, in fact, looking to build up on land. They've, in fact, have hired lawyers, a PR firm. Those in the corporate media, they actually gave them a nice little tour of the area, made it seem like it was a great community. You know, I've had the honor of driving through the area with actually Holly Kessler, and you'd be surprised to know that they've actually changed a lot of their street names, and they are Islamic Conquerors. That's who the streets are named after. But again, they say that they're all peaceful people who just want to coexist in a world where they don't want to actually coexist based on their own actions. So it looks like they have a brand new PR push to rebrand. They are no longer EPIC. Moving forward, they want to be referred to, I believe it's The Meadow. Sounds good. Sounds great. But what does it mean? Well, as many of you know, their own Quran says they're allowed to lie to the non-believers because their goal here is to conquer. These aren't people. Again, read the Quran yourself. 109 verses call for acts of violence against those who are non-believers in the Quran. Now, all you have to do, again, is read it yourself if you tend to disagree with me. And maybe you could just be like 50 of them if you want. But the reality is there's over 109 of them. So it's very hard to push back on all of those, of course. So, of course, if you're living in Texas and in the area, you don't want this happening and popping up near your neighborhood, of course. So we'll discuss in a moment with Holly Kessler in just a second. Folks, a lot going on over here. Make sure you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. So we have 25% off site-wide. Still going on. It is our early Black Friday Cyber Monday sale. Head on over to the shop and make sure you indulge. We have methylene blue for a little bit longer. Buy one, get one free.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, Texans, listen up. For anyone who lives in a red state, this segment is for you because so many people think it's overhyped when we talk about Islam and how it's looking to take over the United States, but all you have to do is pay attention. There's little smoke signals going up all across this country. It's an Islamic takeover. There's no other way to look at it. These people are purchasing land. They're lying to those who are selling them the land, of course, purchasing up land, purchasing up old churches, and converting them. Now, of course, you could purchase it. They're allowed to legally. Of course. But what's happening here? Well, obviously, it's a takeover. It's a takeover. What better way when you were sitting here and you were someone who believes in Islam than to buy up old churches? It's a way to conquer. And many are afraid to talk about it, but we are not afraid to talk about it. The groups that go after those who talk about it do not have me or anyone else I know afraid of it. So let's talk about it. In Texas, my home, Plano, Texas, we are battling it out right now because, folks, Islamists have purchased over 400 acres in East Plano, Texas. They originally were set to call it the development that they were looking to potentially do, according to reports, develop it, and it was referred to in the media as the East Plano Islamic Center, EPIC. Well, it got a really bad rap because, you know, if you're Christian, Jewish, Hindu, or someone, or even a Muslim who doesn't believe in their radical beliefs, there tends to be not this movement to want to coexist with you. So for those who've been paying attention to EPIC, you stood high and you said you do not want EPIC. You do not want it to develop into a Muslim compound. Now, I know because I went to the Collin County hearing on this and I sat there in that courtroom and listened to so many Texans sound off. In fact, there were so many Texans there that they didn't even have enough seats for us. We were actually going to have to make a flood room where everyone else who was unable to get into the courtroom itself was able to sit back and watch from a television. Texans don't want this to become their future, but the problem is these people are purchasing land, and you don't find out until it's too late. So what happened in Collin County? Well, there was a judge, Judge Chris Hill, who originally was like, yeah, we're not going to sit here and let you develop right now. And there's a lot of reasons, too, besides obviously the religion factor of this. You can't go against the First Amendment. They would win that battle in higher court appeals. But the reality of it is 400 acres is a lot to build on. And the area in question probably can't sustain that many new homes popping up rapidly. The natural resources in the area, it would be a massive mess. But they're now doing rebranding. It is no longer EPIC. No. Take a look at the meadow. This is according to Chris Hill. He posted this up on X over the weekend. And this is their new layout for what they're looking to do, apparently. They haven't yet, according to him, presented him with any type of plan, but it's very clear that this is what they're looking to potentially build up on. Again, it looks like, according to him, that the developers and all of this appear to be getting ready to submit their plans to Collin County for review. So we have to pay attention to this, guys. because they are trying to rebrand this. Also worth noting, as I sat there in the courtroom, people from the Epic side did come in, and I was shocked to see that none of them appeared to be practicing Muslims. Obviously, there was a female there. She was not covered. She appeared to be white. Didn't sound like she was a believer in Islam, but just sounded like she was hired. According to people in the room, again, these are just opinions. She was not Muslim. And they have a habit of doing this, hiring outside groups to go out there and to fight for them, because most people don't understand what's actually going on here. So keep that in mind. But there's a big PR push to go after anyone who sits there and will counter their plans to build in the East Plano Islamic Center region. And it's deeply, deeply concerning. Joining me to discuss is my good friend, Holly Kessler. She's the founder of Kessler Consulting. Holly and I, you know, we might have done a little drive-through to the area just a couple of weeks ago, and it was quite the enlightening experience when we were driving through, Holly, and we're realizing a lot of these neighborhoods on the outskirts, as we're driving through, of course, are named after Islamic conquerors, and so it doesn't feel like they are trying to coexist. In fact, it feels to me, as someone in my opinion, it feels to me like they're trying to make it very clear that they are here and this is now their land and the rest of us just have to get in line. But Holly, I want you to kind of break down this story, because we're seeing that there's a new PR firm involved in all of this. Is it that they really are just trying to kind of reangle it, or do you think that they are trying to now become more welcoming to others?
Well, I think you said it. Well, first of all, hey, Brianna, and thank you for having me on. Yes, we had quite the fun night, and we stuck out like a sore thumb. So they're not here to assimilate. And I think you pretty much nailed that when you were talking about the way they named their streets, and they're not very welcoming. And so this, what's going on that we're seeing with the rebranding, I think is no different than when any company rebrands. I think they have an incredible marketing strategy. They know the Epic Center is being called out. I spoke about it when I spoke up in Cobb County at the Madison Forum recently, tying in the Epic Center out in Texas to the Epic Center over here in Georgia. And so, you know, they know the pressure is on and the heat is on, and they've got to do something if they want to continue. But I do not believe, Brianna, that they are going to be here to assimilate into American culture. I think it's the same exact thing that they're wanting to do. And what we're seeing is infiltration and a takeover of America. And it's time for Americans to wake up.
Yeah, it is time for them to wake up. And I get the fear tactics and the strategy that those on the other side like to use against us. There is Amy Mack is like my great example. She is an incredible patriot, loves this country, and doesn't really side with any religion, just knows that specifically this is extremely toxic and it is going to lead to the demise of this country. And shows she does her legwork in uncovering a lot of this, because, you know, they don't like the fact that Amy, a lot of her work is digging through their own comments and pulling things out that they're saying to their own followers on social media. Not only on social media, though, when they're having their services, she pulls those out, because a lot of them are live stream, and they just don't like that. Here in Texas, though, we have a massive problem, Holly, and you've been uncovering a lot of it and digging into it. Why is it that Texas, which I'm told is supposed to be a heavy red state, has allowed, this is just Plano too, by the way, folks, this is happening up in Houston and other areas throughout Texas. Why does Texas have this current problem?
You know, it's a great question, because I mean, I'm with the rest of the country going, Texas? Wait, what? You know, it is crazy. And Amy Mack, I just want to say real quick, I'm glad you brought her up, in the Rare Foundation. She has done an absolutely amazing job. All of y'all that have a larger following and helping bring eyes and attention to this have really just been absolutely incredible. So thank you for that. But it really is unbelievable. And the only thing that I can say is there is a lot of money, a lot of power involved in backdoor deals. Now, I'm not specifically accusing anybody of any specific things, so I want to be clear, because I've already been threatened to be sued. So you got to make sure that you're clear on the facts. But the facts remain is that there's a problem. And while we're not seeing, you know, Texas officials stand up and address this, I mean, they say they are. But again, it's just words. There's never any hardcore action and why these things aren't being stopped. And I actually commend Judge Hill for coming out. I don't know which side of the aisle that he is on, but I do know he's been pretty transparent about, this community, this city and community center there in, Collin County. And I do commend him for doing that, because a lot of times we see things like this just pop up and start to happen. If you don't have you know, you and Amy Mex and, you know, me, people doing research and it, trying to expose these things and bring light to it. A lot of times our politicians are not going to do it. I just found out in Georgia we have 5 resolutions from the Senate and 2 in the House and more planned to pass through this legislative session, you know, all surrounding the Islam situation. And so those are things that if they're, you know, if you're not really paying attention and digging into them and staying on top of it, people aren't going to be, you know, they're not going to be aware of it. So Texas really needs to wake up because y'all got a problem. And like you said, Brian, I think it's important to note, you know, I'm over here in Georgia and I'm seeing things. You're out there. And so when we were out there and riding around, I mean, I'm over here in Georgia and screaming for y'all out there that there is a problem. And the elected officials need to wake up too and realize whatever might be going on behind closed doors, whatever you think, you're going to make this deal, or you might get a little bit of extra money or donations here. You need to be thinking about your kids and your grandkids in the future because it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem. It's time for Texas to wake up and put a stop to all of this.
Yeah. I mean, they're even changing over the food. I believe I've read that the local school district over there is now serving food that caters to them, of course. And, you know, that's not acceptable. I mean, it's just not acceptable. We demand more as Texans than our taxpayer money going to this. And I know locally our Plano mayor, the Plano Police Department, which obviously I am not fans of, they have coddled up to these people. And even our governor, Amy Mech, uncovered the fact that our taxpayer money, and even, you know, the Texas representative, Brian Harrison, backing up her reporting that our taxpayer money is actually going to these mosques, and that should not be happening. You know, again and again and again, these people do not want to coexist with us. They are just looking to take over, and it's to conquer the United States. And we are helping them do just that. But the reality is Holly, is people in red states need to wake up. You know, you don't think it's going to happen to a red state. You think this is happening in blue states. But the reality is as a red state, we have low regulations. So obviously that's quite desirable. And we also don't do that whole LGBTQ propaganda in our public schools, which is something we as conservatives and those who believe in Islam are individuals who could probably actually find that as common ground. So we're finding that these people are popping up in our communities. And it's not as obvious as one would think because they don't tend to leave their areas. As we saw when we were driving through Epic, the area itself, it's pretty easy to stay in that little hub because they have their own supermarkets, restaurants, and there's really no reason to go outside of there. So for those who doubt that this is happening in your community, I would remind you all that take a look and make sure and show up to your local meetings. But in Georgia, you guys are having this fight as well. And as you just kind of cited, there's a lot on the agenda, but again, so many people are afraid to talk about it. But I want to talk about your recent House race because there's an individual named Muhammad Ali Akbar. Now, if that doesn't sound like a red flag, I don't know what else will, Holly, but I'll let you detail this story because this is an election that you are actually following.
It is, and we have quite a few of them here. We have a group. I'm sure Texas has one. I'm sure they're all over the country, so just look it up. Ours is Peach State Muslims. You know, we're Georgia, so we're the Peach State. And they've been very active, very diligent on, you know, the grassroots, getting on the ground, door knocking, handing out flyers, literally trying to convert people. They're doing it at Stone Mountain Park, you know, a national park. And so, to this particular race, it's a 19-year-old, well, I say he's 19. He's probably closer to 2021, a junior at Kennesaw State University, came out of nowhere. No background, no history, very little social media. Muhammad Ali Akbar, like you said, very, I mean, you know, the name couldn't be any more perfect for that case scenario, but, you know, just a lot of questions surrounding him. Where did he come from? He's part of this group that is very heavily tied into CARE, and we know who CARE is. We know all about them and their relationships with the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, and so he's now in a runoff, in House District. It's in Gwinnett. I need to look it up. Let's see, House District 106 for the House of Representatives. There you go. You got it right there. Yep. So he's in a runoff, and I think that's December 2nd, I believe it is the runoff. But we need to be waking people up and getting them to understand that, you know, you've got a problem here. They are slowly infiltrating. Well, they're infiltrating, and well, I say slowly now, it seems like it's more of a little bit of a rapid pace. That it's happening across the board, being that they just swept the nation with every race they were in. But, you know, it's time we get eyes on this, and party politics, this is not something that, you know, plays into party politics. This is going to affect America as a whole and every single person. And I know the country is very divided on this, but as crazy as it sounds, I've even thrown out there, hey, we've got to see what we can do to help this Democrat candidate run, you know, the real Democrat candidate, not the infiltrated Democrat candidate, because we are seeing this across the country and it's a mess. So I greatly appreciate you bringing this up and helping us put some eyes on this. It's right around the corner.
Yeah, and I want to keep focusing on Georgia because, again, most people don't even realize that this is happening. And you mentioned CARE. You know, CARE has dealt with allegations, those accusing them of being associated with the Muslim Brotherhood. I know here in Texas, Chip Roy is someone who is looking to go after their tax exemption status, I believe it was, and he's put up legislation on that, or he's looking to possibly put up legislation on that front, I believe it is. And there's a couple of people who are going after them over the allegations they're accused of. But CARE fights back, and they fight back pretty hard against anyone who's critical of them or voices any type of concerns. And it's just so concerning to me because it's something we haven't really seen. There's been plenty of allegations made about them. And instead of laying out the facts for the rest of us to see, they get extremely vicious. And with lawfare, I've seen it time and time again, my friends reporting simple things that they deem as being factually true. And instead of offering a rebuttal, they are often finding themselves to be political targets and targeted by the organization, being called out specifically. I've heard them call out Amy Meck's name several times. They tend to teeter across a very thin margin of what defamation is and what's not. And it's really concerning. But this just seems like, you know, it'd be one thing if this was a group we could find common ground with and was looking to have a conversation, but it doesn't seem like that's the case. And I'm deeply, deeply concerned about that. And so when Chip Roy steps in and makes these allegations as well and is looking to possibly change how we as Americans view them, and especially legally, I mean, I am on board with that. I think that we need to actually have a serious conversation. And I welcome any opportunity for them to defend themselves. They truly believe that they are being misrepresented through the media and through other politicians. I would recommend that. But I also want to talk about what's happening in Georgia, because again, we're watching as there's a lot of Muslims who are sweeping through these elections. We saw on Tuesday, obviously, what happened in New York City. I've been covering that extensively. This is an individual who does not, I mean, he was not a U.S. citizen when he was planned to run for mayor. We know that through video that was pushed out by Steven Crowder's team, and it was promoted back in 2014. He was their mayoral pick, and then in 2018, he became a U.S. citizen. So we're seeing as people who are not citizens in this country are running for office. We also saw what happened in Virginia. The lieutenant governor is also a Muslim as well. And again, I normally wouldn't care, but the reality of it is there's one side that has declared war on the West, and it's not us, obviously. It's not Christians. It's not the Jews, not the Hindus. It's literally Muslims. And, you know, there's obviously not all of them. Holly, I have to say, are violent individuals, and I'll end this rant pretty quickly, but not all of them are violent individuals, but they also don't speak out when violent individuals or those who declare war on the West say things like that. What's going on with our elections? Because, again, we saw a big sweep, and not many people are talking about it. Not people want to call it the consistency here.
Well, and I don't know, Brianna, if, you know, we're nice. We're too nice, I think, sometimes, and we've been too comfortable and too welcoming. And, you know, especially me, I could say that being from the South, you know, cause we're always welcoming and wanting to entertain and, just want to love everybody. But we're in a situation, like you said, where these are people who do not like America. I mean, they literally chant death to America on our own streets, you know, and so it's a problem, and it's very clear when you start looking at it and you realizing what is going on across the nation, it's very clear. And I don't know what it's going to take for people to start standing up. I know some people are scared. I've built out a group here. We're a small, very small group right now talking about it. But I've been raising awareness about what's going on in Georgia. We had somebody even running on the Republican Party, ticket just as a local county chair here. And her grandfather is, the founder of Jamaat-e-Islami. And we were able, you know, once we uncovered that, we started tracking and looking at all sorts of different things. And those are actually on, I want to throw this website out there too. It's counterdawah.com. So counterdawah.com. And all of those reports are on there. Lots of good information. So I encourage anybody to go through that. Share that stuff with your legislators. People have got to start talking about it. Even if you're just sharing, you know, Brianna, that's the website. Even if you're just sharing that information to, friends, family members, your legislators or local officials. I've been doing all of that. That's not necessarily doing what we're doing and coming out. You know, I don't expect everybody to do that, But everybody is going to need to take part in helping waking people up, because that's the biggest thing. People are not awake to what is really going on and the seriousness of this situation. And it is very, very serious.
No, it is very serious. And just to highlight, too, for the fact that I know, Holly, that you're doing this because you truly believe in it. You're not being paid by any foreign countries to do this. And I could say that myself as well.
I'm not getting paid at all.
Well, that's the thing. And I don't take any money from any foreign countries either. I've been offered from both sides, both, you know, trips and all those other things. So I've been offered and I decline everything because I truly believe that this is a threat. I don't need anyone to motivate me financially in any means. So that's just something we want to throw out there too, because I know those who are critical tend to say that there's a financial incentive involved in putting this information out there, and there isn't one. This is something that we truly believe is a very important issue. While we got you here, though, I want to talk about Fulton County, because obviously there's now this DOJ intervention, and we know that there's been plenty of letters sent back and forth to Fannie Willis's office in regards to a lot of her vacations that she loves to pay for. And we don't know, again, if that's taxpayer money or if it's own personal money, of course, but or campaign funds. But she's being asked a lot of questions from the DOJ. What's the very latest on that?
Yeah, so Fannie is supposed to be testifying. She was actually supposed to testify at the Senate Prosecuting Attorneys Qualification Commission that we have set up. So it's really a senatorial panel here. She had some excuse, couldn't make it. You know, it's always fun times, times with Fawn Willis. So, couldn't make it. So they're going to reschedule that, but the DOJ has, stepped in, and she, you know, I don't know if you know this, she was just removed. Her and her entire team was removed from the Elector case. Of course, that's breaking from Ed Martin, last night, early this morning, that they have, a pardon has been given to all of the Georgia electors, and then quite a few across the country. You know, I think it was Tyne in Michigan and some other people. So that was awesome breaking news. But yeah, the DOJ is stepping into Fulton County and telling them that, you know, you've got to comply with this order, and we want to see the ballots. We want to look at what happened in Fulton County, and they are just not, I mean, they're just not doing it. I just published a video, and hats off to Julie Adams. You know, she's a board member in Fulton County, the only Republican board member. And so she's sitting in there with those ladies, and she says, listen, I'm just a board member. I'm just asking questions. Are the ballots there? and you know, you could kind of see, you know, they're getting real nervous, and it really is wild to see how far they will go for the cover up. And it really just is unbelievable. After all these years, it's like, you know, just comply. If there's nothing there to hide, let's just do it and get it over with and be done with it, you know, but they are pushing back hardcore. So it's going to be really interesting. I don't think the DOJ is very happy or going to be very happy with what Fulton County is going to continue to try to do. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. All eyes on Georgia.
All eyes on Georgia. And by the way, folks at home, if you wonder how I met Holly, I met her on my very first day working over at Lindell TV. And we came down, we were with Mike, of course, and we came down and I met you, and you were a fireball from the very beginning, pushing for election integrity. In fact, I actually I might have not been allowed into the Capitol, the Georgia Capitol, but as a journalist, a media outlet individual. So I, put down the microphone. We put down everything that I had, and I picked up a box and walked in there with you guys to provide them with affidavits, which alleged potential election fraud. And we dropped them off for the governor, Kemp, of course. And we've been causing quite the stir. Thousands and thousands of affidavits dropped off. They didn't like it, but the reason for me telling you the story is Holly is a fighter. You've been fighting this battle for quite some time when it comes to election integrity, and especially in Georgia. So folks, if you haven't done so already, give her a follow on X as well, because you are someone who is fierce, you are a fighter, and you don't back down. That's the kind of people we need on our team, of course. So Holly Kessler, thank you, of course, for joining me, and give her a follow on X, folks. We appreciate it when you do. HM Kessler, of course, on X. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you.
All right, folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have 25% off site-wide right now for our early Black Friday Cyber Monday sale, of course. And then it is buy one, get one free on methylene blue. So head on over to the shop and grab it while you still can. Only a couple of hours left on that sale, of course. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. More underway.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. And it has a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're panning them. But our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where as soon as you start taking it, you're I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're taking your calls on the story that we covered today on today's show that you want to talk about. We want to keep it to the core of what we talked about thus far. Give me a ring. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I'll be flipping back and forth, covering more stories, taking calls. We keep things interesting over here. Plus, we got our eyes on the White House right now as President Trump prepares to meet with the so-called Syrian leader. We'll bring that to you when that begins. It's expected to possibly take place in roughly maybe 25 minutes, 27 minutes. So we're keeping our eyes on the White House as well. But, there's a lot going on with air traffic control. We've been reporting what's going on at the airports, but more specifically, the Secretary, obviously, of Transportation, Sean Duffy, is sounding the alarms on all things related to that. And President Trump also just put out a post just a moment ago. But I wanted to get to what Sean Duffy said yesterday first, because in clip six, it's really important for you to hear what he's saying in regards to these air traffic controllers. Take a listen.
So first off, yesterday we had 81 staffing triggers with air traffic controllers across the airspace. You reported there was a whole slew of cancellations and delays across the airspace. That trend line is getting worse, right? More controllers aren't coming to work day by day the further they go without a paycheck because Democrats refuse to pay them. And so as I look 2 weeks out, as we get closer to Thanksgiving travel, I think what's going to happen is you're going to have air travel slow to a trickle. As everyone wants to travel to see their families, I think we're going to see air traffic controllers, very few of them coming to work, which means, yes, you'll have a few flights taking off and landing at our different airports across the country. But the thousands of flights that happen every day to move people around the country for this great American holiday, it's not going to happen. You're going to have massive disruption. I think a lot of angry Americans, and I think we have to be honest about where this is going. It doesn't get better. It gets worse until these air traffic controllers are going to be paid.
Okay, so you have that there. Now let's take a look at what President Trump says, because it kind of sounds like when my dad is yelling at me a bit and he's not happy. And he says specifically he is not happy. But first things first, some positive news. I will be recommending a bonus of $10,000 per person for their service to this country for those that did nothing but complain and took time off, even though everyone knew they would get paid in full shortly into the future. I am not happy with you. You didn't step up to help the U.S. and against its fake attack from Democrat, of course. That's what he goes on to say. He says you will have a negative mark, at least in my mind, against your record. If you want to leave service in the near future, please do not hesitate to do so with no payment, of course, of severance of any kind. So President Trump not happy with those who are not showing up to work. Again, Secretary Sean Duffy, he understands that a lot of people are having to work a second job to put food on the table. But President Trump, again, reminding you all that this is a Democrat shutdown, not something that you should blame on Republicans. Folks, if you haven't done so already, you want to give me a call, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls, of course, in just a few moments. I'm going to go through some stories, and then we'll have, you know, back and forth. I'll do a little phone answering, a little story follow-up with, of course. So definitely we'll start that in just a moment. So again, give me a call, 877-789-2539. Oh, let's keep talking about the stories. Well, I told you guys we're watching the White House right now. Specifically, President Trump is supposed to meet with the so-called leader of Syria. I keep saying so-called because he is an Al-Qaeda terrorist. He, according to these, I don't even understand how we're going to do this with a straight face. They keep putting the word former Al-Qaeda leader. I don't think there's anything as such a thing as former. Personally, my personal opinion, I actually think it's a disgrace that we have allowed an Al-Qaeda leader into the White House. Into the White House. We literally just had a bounty on his head. It's been a little over a year, $10 million. This is an individual who sat back and watched as Christians in Syria were slaughtered. So am I happy about this? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Ahmed Al-Shar is the individual who's now making his way into the White House. He was shooting hoops with members of our military over the weekend. We saw videos of that circulating online. And now today, in about 20 minutes, he's going to be making his way into the White House. Not happy about this, folks. He doesn't even do a convincing job to tell you that he actually is not a terrorist. I've not seen any convincing evidence that he isn't anymore. Doesn't want to kill us. Folks, in case you're wondering, if you haven't read the Quran, I'd highly recommend you do just that, because it literally allows them to lie to us non-believers. From jailed jihadists to Oval Office. What an absolute disgrace. There's nothing beneficial to any of this. Nothing. Nothing. Now, of course, we are helping him when it comes to sanctions. The U.S. has lifted sanctions ahead of the meeting today. So we've also advocated for him to not have sanctions at the U.N. level either. Our officials doing just that last week. And according to Sarah Adams, as many of you guys know, she at one point worked for the CIA. She's saying that the ICE raids that you're seeing in Syria taking place that are popping up all over the internet, she's telling you, yeah, those are fake. Those are fake. They're not actually going after ISIS terrorists. Sorry, ISIS terrorists. She's saying it's fake and it's staged. You can share that crappy report if you want to, or you could know the truth. That's according to Sarah Adams, of course. So I'm not a fan of this, but we'll cover it. Again, I do not insert my bias into these reports. So when we do see that both of them are meeting at the White House, we'll bring that to you. All eyes right now on the White House, of course. First, let's take some calls. If you haven't done so already, give me a ring. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Give us a call. First one up, though, my buddy, Mr. Savage Dog in Georgia. Savage Dog, welcome to the show. We're happy to have you back. Let's see if he's there.
Tripoli, we will fight our country's battles. Hey, happy birthday, Marine Corps. 250 years. Good night, Chesty Fuller, wherever you are, buddy.
Well, my friend, I knew you were going to do that, and so I was waiting for you to call into the show, and that's why you're the first one up. Thank you for that. We appreciate it, of course. What's going on your side of all of this? Are you celebrating today?
Heck yeah. Shoot. My birthday, my birth mother birthday was yesterday. My Marine Corps birthday is today, and then got Veterans Day tomorrow. I always got a four-day birthday weekend when I was in the Marine Corps. So, hey, you know I'm rocking it.
Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday. We're excited to hear that. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we love to hear this, obviously. And I'm going to keep my eye to see how the Pentagon and everyone is going to celebrate as well. But what do you do, Savage Dog, to celebrate?
Well, I'm an old dog now. I don't do what I used to do. I used to go buy a fifth of Jim Beam and start going early. But I can't do that anymore. I'm too old for that mess.
You're not alone.
But now the reason I called, you know, I got a whole page written out on, you know, lawful things we need to do to fight the communists. Mm-hmm. And that's all fine and good. But, you know, I really think what we need to do, the first thing we need to do before we start fighting in Washington, D.C., is we need to make the other half of the Second Amendment great, which is the militias. We need to get the sheriff's departments, everybody who's interested in, you know, back in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, you know, movies and everybody demonized militias as being white supremacists, you know, bunch of drunk rednecks in the woods wanting to, you know, whatever. That's not what a militia is. We need to get the sheriff's departments, and everybody interested needs to call your local sheriff and say, look, we need to organize the militias. We need to have a well-regulated militias to have a stronghold in all these counties, because, you know, once it blows up in the cities, which I don't even know of a big city that you can trust the sheriff's department, but every other county, you know, if you look at the map like Benny Johnson has on his wall of America, you know, every county that, you know, whether they went red or blue, it's all red. So if we all, you know, we get the well-regulated and trained militias going to stand up and fight, they can't take us. You know, we all stand, you know, someone like me sitting here going, you know, especially on Marine Corps birthday, I swore sacred oath. And it didn't just last for the 6 years I was in the 90s. That oath lasts forever. You know, I solemnly swear to defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now we're rife with domestic enemies, both communist and Islam. Those are our two major enemies, and they're just getting foothold after foothold while we're waiting for Washington to push some kind of law or whatever to do something. And, you know, we need a George Washington. Well, how about every county has a George Washington? And then all together we get strong, real strong. And then we get our representatives. We force them to go in there and grow some cojones and in Washington and start writing law instead of capitulating and trying to, you know, whatever the hell they do up there. I don't even know what they do. You know, we need to do grassroots defense of this nation, because we cannot trust Washington or our representative. I got a really good representative, but he's mostly focused on farm stuff because that's what the, you know, the district is. is farming. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we got to do it ourselves. And we can't wait on George Washington. He ain't coming. Not this time. If we want to save our country, and we got to do it ourselves. We got to stand up and go to our local sheriff and say, look, what can we do to start a militia in whatever county you're in? And then once you get like five or six or seven in a region, then you can get like, all of them can get together. Because a lot of people don't know that the sheriff of a county, his job isn't law enforcement per se. It's to defend constitutional rights. It's totally different. There's a big push for this a couple of years ago. And, to have sheriffs recognize their duty to defend the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So I think it would therefore be their job to organize the militias.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, by the way, it's worth noting that we're going to actually have Stuart Rhodes in studio tomorrow to discuss just that. As you know, he's the founder of the Oath Keepers. And
where are the Oath Keepers and the 3%ers? And, you know,
you're messing up my tease here, my friend. He's got something to say about that. I think the Oath Keepers are coming back. I think they're coming back.
Outstanding.
Maybe. I won't go too crazy. But all I'll say is that's a question I'm going to ask. And I think Stuart's coming here to talk to me about something. That's all I know.
All right. Well, tell Stuart this Marine said, "Oorah, Semper Fi, brother."
Yes. Yeah. And Stuart's been through the battle. I mean, there's no other.
Oh, yes,
I met
yes,
Stuart
ma'am.
While he was sitting in prison. And that's how we became friends. I was literally just, I downloaded an app. I noticed how my mom was a little nervous, and I was messing the J6ers in prison where you could actually text them. You put money on their account. They could text you back and forth. And that's how me and Stuart became friends. And then when he was released, we all went out to celebrate and had dinner. It was a great time, me, him, and Steve Baker. And we all sat down and we had a great conversation. And he is a patriot. So I'm excited to have him in studio tomorrow because that guy is a heck of a fighter. And Savage Dog, you're onto something. Your gut told you something, and you're on to something big, so make sure you tune in tomorrow.
No, ma'am, not my gut, Holy Spirit.
Yes, that's a good one. You got me there. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate all the incredible things that you do come up with. I have to say, you're a man full of great ideas, so thank you for doing just that. Folks, I'm keeping an eye on President Trump's Truth Social. I don't know how he does it, but he just posted another Truth Social post, and he's advocating again to give low-income to media-income Americans $2,000 each as a way to celebrate the tariffs and the amount of revenue they've brought back in to this country. And then he also says that, you know, whatever's left over is going to go down to paying the national debt as well. So he's got this plan to give Americans about $2,000, it sounds like. Don't know that has any actual legs on it, but it sounds good. It sounds very good. So we're excited to hear that at least. All right, let's turn to Benny in Tennessee, because Benny, I hear you want to talk about the government shutdown. So welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Benny?
I wanted to do a real quick plug first. I got I use a bunch of the supplements now. I use the Methylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, the Optimal Human, and I'm about to get my Methylene Red and my bovine colostrum. And that's taken me from 17 pills, 17 different medications I've had to take a day for quite a long time down to 3.
Wow. That is amazing to hear.
And they've, just as a side little benefit from it, it seems that it's helping my skin feel and look younger.
Wow. Wow. We love to hear that. I don't think people realize how powerful supplements are, and our food doesn't carry the nutrients we actually need. I mean, I know that for a fact too. And I know, right now on the website, I believe last I looked, we're still sold out of it, but the Methylene Red is going to be amazing for you. I literally drink it every day. That's why it's on my desk. It's in my cup. I love it. It definitely helps with brain fog too. So it's definitely one of the great ones. So good on you. And guys, again, just to also add to you, if you want to head over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com, it's 25% off site wide. So now's a great time to jump over and get any of those items that Benny just talked about. So thank you, Benny, for that. That was great.
Now about the shutdown. I'm always kind of skeptical about our government. And it seems like anytime there's something like this that gets so much attention on the news, there's something that's not getting enough attention that we're not hearing about. And I'm just kind of curious what you think that might be. I kind of feel like it's this whole Cash Patel, Pam Bondi, dumbing up things, that should get a lot more attention. I think that should be something that should be first and foremost to get the – can't get the swamp drained until we can pull the plugs, and they just seem to be standing on the plugs. So in my opinion, that's where it seems to be we're getting distracted from how much could be happening versus how much is happening. And the government shutdown, I think that's taking so much attention from it when it's – right now it's critical, it's crucial because – We've got the ball rolling, and we just got to keep the momentum. And I feel like that's something that once the shutdown is done, it needs to be front foremost subject number one, something that really has to be taken care of.
Yeah. Well, Benny, I think you're right. I mean, the reality of it is I feel like they're running the clock, and I'll focus it more on the DOJ angle from all of it. Cause my sources who have been in the FBI, who just got back to the FBI, I should say, those who are in the FBI right now, not those under the Biden regime, of course, but those who are there now consistently are telling me the same thing, that they are trying and that it just seems to be falling on dead ears when they try to bring it to the DOJ part, and nothing could really happen, right? The FBI is in charge of the investigative work on all of this. And then when they bring it to the DOJ, that's supposed to be the next tier in going after all of these people. And I think what's happening here is you're watching people running the clock. And I don't think that we're alone on this fight when we sit here and say that seems to be an issue. I mean, we remember just a couple of months ago when there was this very public dispute between, I guess it was sources saying that there was a public dispute trying to maybe possibly pop its head out between Dan Bongino and those over at the DOJ in regards to Epstein and so much more. And I think that those frustrations are being heard from those in the White House. President Trump, you have to wonder, why would he open up a position like the co-deputy director over the FBI and then take an attorney over at Missouri, their attorney general, and bring him into the FBI and put him in that position? I think he sees what you see, and that is the potential that someone at the DOJ might be just running the clock. And so you have Andrew Bailey, the former Missouri AG, now over at the FBI, probably because you don't see him on TV. He's probably going through all of this. And if there is a moment where President Trump has to switch, he's got his next man on deck to do just that. Because listen, the accountability tour needs to happen. It needs to kick up. It needs to ramp up. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like the current pace is acceptable. It is not acceptable. We have a very limited window, and I continue to say this all the time, and now is the time to strike. Now is the time to go after these people. Because if we sit here and we wait too far into this term, and what happens? Well, then you run the chance of maybe during the election not winning the election as Republicans, and then everything is over. Everything's over. Because you know, if a Democrat makes their way into the White House and they have all the incentive and reasoning to try to steal the very next election, well, what's going to happen? We're doing nothing to fight for our election integrity right now. On a federal level, there's not much being done. You see President Trump saying, I want photo ID. I want all these regulations changed. And no one's listening. No one's listening. And so, yeah, I think it's fair to call it out. And I think it's fair to say, why isn't this happening? But we need to continue calling out. Benny, that's a great point you bring up. I want to thank you for calling in. Yeah, the shutdown itself was meant to slow roll this administration. And I don't think it's actually going to work. But here we are, of course. Folks, if you haven't done so already, give me a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're going to continue taking your calls, of course, into the next hour of the show while I keep my eye in the White House to see when the Syrian leader makes his way in, the Al-Qaeda terrorist. I don't know how else to say it anymore. I'm not going to sit here and soften the blow for you. I strongly am against this. And so we'll keep the truth. We'll keep telling you what's going on, the facts to all of this. Of course, we got our eye on that. I'm going to keep going through stories and switching back and forth. We've got about 4 minutes before we have to go to break, of course, but I want to turn to Josh in North Carolina. Josh, I hear something you want to talk about in regards to our children, so welcome to the show.
I just wanted to get a hold of you, and I'm going to try to cover a lot real quick with you. You're having a great morning. Good job on the promotion as far as the Pentagon press pass thing. Mm-hmm. But my focus I wanted to add in was the renaissance of education that needs to occur in America. We need to focus, like Grant Dog was talking about, like, people need to get out, yes, and militia be involved. But one thing that I do know that is Trump is a doorstop. He is one hell of a golden-plated doorstop. He is letting people do their jobs, like Kennedy, like Tulsi. All of them are getting things done because of this big old doorstop. Now, I would like to encourage people. I'm going to be doing the same in my district, my county, my state. I want to get involved in my own personal politics and political campaigning just because they need more boots on the ground, metaphorically, lovingly, legally. We have to get people involved. They take a minute to do your civil duties and keep up with local government. Keep out or get out there and vote. And not only that, run if you're able. A lot of this stuff is part-time jobs, like just showing up, going to council meetings, just being part of your community. And I think it does tie into what you're saying about Islam and all that. Like, I was raised to have the freedom of everything. I could learn anything I wanted. I picked up the Quran and put it down, you know, about the same amount of rate. And I'm just going to say, like, kids these days are not educated. That's why they're acting out, the blue hair, the septum ring things. It all makes sense when you see, like, oh, they're told that we're a bunch of big meanies and, you know, just that we started war.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh, well, first off, thank you. When you opened up, I didn't want to interrupt you, but thank you for those comments regarding the Pentagon passes. We're excited about that. I know the mainstream media is not, but we are for sure, because we'll get our foot in the door and ask the tough questions, of course. But secondly, I think you're accurate. I mean, I think you're totally spot on when it comes to that. The intention is to control the messaging, and they've done so by taking children, their education hostage, and intentionally not informing them of so many things. I was very worried during the pandemic, to be truthful, because kids are getting used to the government telling them what to do and complying. And very few understand the Constitution and how it works and how they have a right to stand up, to say things, to push back. And they gave that fear-mongering tactic through the pandemic to instill that in the back of their heads like that was normal. So I think that's also one avenue that I would just like to suggest there, too. But I think there's a reason for it. We're watching the rise of communism and children who are, you know, kids who are in their 20s, early 20s, feel like there's no future in this country for them. And so they have to turn to free incentives. And thinking of the billionaire classes in this country have been the ones to do them dirty when they, in fact, I mean, yeah, there's definitely capital greed, and I'm not going to make an excuse for that, but that isn't a good enough excuse to turn to communism. I mean, communism never works. And so the intentions here are to put these children in a really tough situation, mislead them by believing that happiness doesn't come from starting families. Your freedoms aren't valid when there's a pandemic that they've deemed, and they've targeted these children. And so I think the best way to push back is to start informing kids, start educating kids. I know that on yesterday, during service yesterday, they were advocating for, you know, bringing your kids into church and having us educate them, having us have a say in a lot of this. And that's a great way to combat all of this. So, yeah, people need to get involved in local efforts, local, obviously, going to your counties, going to whether it's county GOP, conservative events, whatever it is, we all need to start showing up. We all need to start showing up because this is a real issue. Real issue. I want to thank you, Josh, for calling in today. Of course, we still got to keep taking your calls. So give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be working our way down the list. Of course, I'm keeping my eye on the White House right now to see when President Trump meets with that Al-Qaeda leader who is now, according to them, the leader of Syria. We also have more stories to dive into, like how President Trump doesn't want fat people gaining access to visas. It's happening, folks. Yes, it is. I'll bring you the very latest on that, of course. Plus, that Ukrainian refugee who was murdered. Well, now the DOJ is investigating it as a hate crime. Harvey Dillon speaking out on that. I'll play the soundbite in just a little bit. Don't go anywhere. There's more to discuss.
You are the reason InfoWars existed. You're the reason we've had so much success. You're the reason the globals hate our guts. I couldn't have done any of this without you. And now we're so close to being shut down. We fought so hard. We never gave up. We never backed down. But they have the state receiver appointed. He was here today. He can shut us down any time. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of November 6th, Thursday, November 6th, 2025. And you have until this Sunday, just 3 days, to take advantage of the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesWar.com, which I don't own, but finances the new network and keeps InfoWars on the air so the bad guys can't shut it down. You get great products, the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, collectible knives, and so much more, and you keep this operation on air one way or another. I am the InfoWar. My crew is the InfoWar, the caller, the guest. All of us are the InfoWar. They're not going to shut us down. We're not giving up. The fact that they've come after us so hard is a testament to how far we've come against them, and they know they can't continue to operate. They're going to lose if they don't shut us down. So be the reason we stay on the air. Huge sale, 25% off store-wide on top of huge sales, 50% off with things like ultramethylene blue and more. It ends this Sunday. Take advantage of it right now at thealexjonesstore.com, and I salute all of you, and thank you for being at the heart of this fight. You are the spirit of 1776 worldwide. You are the resistance.
The truth is just a tap away. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Alex Jones app, available now on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Stream the latest shows, stay up to date with breaking news, and support free speech with every click. Grab your t-shirts, hats, supplements, and more, all inside the app. Don't wait. Download the Alex Jones app today and join the fight for freedom.
So Ramadani is set to speak in a moment. We'll potentially bring that to you. We'll also be keeping our eye on the White House because President Trump is meeting with the new leader of Syria. Many of you guys know he's a former Al-Qaeda terrorist. And I say former, very light, of course, like not a serious tone, because there's no such freaking thing, but that's what everyone wants to call it these days. So we'll be fair and balanced. Just kidding, he's a terrorist. Anyways, so we'll keep our eye on that. And we'll bring it to you as it continues to develop. We'll also be taking your calls, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Give me a ring if there's a story we've covered that you wanted to discuss. We'll be hearing from you, of course. And we'll be going through the calls as well as bouncing around from news stories that we still have flagged for you to keep things interesting. I'll also be playing a soundbite in a little bit as well from Harmy Dillon. She's telling Catherine Heritage that there's a new hate it looks like it's going to be a hate crime investigation underway for DeCarlos Brown. Now, he's the individual who's accused of killing that Ukrainian refugee on that train in North Carolina. I'll be breaking that story down for you in just a little bit as well. Plus, President Trump is apparently telling those within our own government that, no, people who are overweight, who are trying to come into our country and obtain visas, don't let them in. Don't let them in. That's what the president is now saying in regards to all of that. So we'll get into the details in the third hour of the show. We're excited that you guys are all with us, of course. A lot to dig into. I'm also excited because tomorrow on this show, we're going to have Stuart Rhodes in studio. Stuart Rhodes will be here. There's a lot to talk about with him. For those of you, obviously, you know that Stuart Rhodes is the founder of the Oath Keepers. But most importantly, he's actually an incredible criminal defense attorney. Yeah, I don't think people realize that. He went to Ivy League school. He's a very, very smart guy. Was one of the first people when I was doing all my J6 investigative work and talking to the guys who were in prison and in jail. He was one of the first people to say, what you see happening to me playing out in my trial is what they are trying to do to President Trump. And he was right. He was right. They were laying out the blueprint through Stuart Rhodes, and they were trying their very best to use that against President Trump. It was a well-orchestrated effort. For those of you who didn't realize, why were they going after Stuart Rhodes, a guy who didn't go into the Capitol? Well, it was because they were trying their very best to make it seem like J6 was a well-orchestrated event that took place with people who were allies to President Trump, who believed in the same things President Trump believed in. And they wanted to say that President Trump was pulling all the strings. So he'll be here in studio tomorrow, sound off on that, because I've got a lot to ask him, And I don't think me and Stuart have actually done an in-person interview. We've done virtual, remote. We've had dinner, but I've actually never had him in studio, so this will be good. This will be great. Stuart Rhodes is one of the incredible patriots who we do truly appreciate, of course, and it'll be good to have him on the show. You guys, if you're on hold right now, stay put. Don't go anywhere because we're going to try to work our way down the list and try to get to everyone on hold as we continue to dig through these stories. Like I mentioned, we got our eye right now in the White House, President Trump meeting with the leader of Syria in just a few moments. We'll bring that to you, of course, to be fair and balanced. But as of right now, there's no action outside the White House. We've got the live shot ready to go. When he does make his way in, we'll go straight to that. Also, Zohran Mahdani is expected to speak, probably something really hateful. So he'll bring it to you when he does do just that. But we're keeping our eyes on a lot of things. I've also got a lot of stories to break down for you in just a few moments, of course. And then I also wanted to highlight a couple of other things as well. We'll do that all in the third hour of the program. If you haven't done so already, you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now, because we're giving you a head start on your Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales. Head on over to the shop, because we have 25% off site-wide, of course, and also methylene, everyone keeps laughing at me, methylene blue is buy one, get one free right now. We've only got a couple more hours left in that sale, so head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Now is the time to start grabbing these items before we sell out, but most importantly, get a head start on your Christmas list. Don't wait until the very last minute. And the best part about this, you give these gifts to your loved ones, not only will they appreciate, especially these really cool sweaters, but also you'll be supporting us in our very next effort, whatever that means, our next effort to continue to bring you all of the truths in this information battle. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and take a look around. It makes for a great Christmas gift. Plus, you're helping us in this fight. All right, guys, more to unpack in just a few moments.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
The AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I have a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both? What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I only got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot happening. We're keeping our eyes on everything, plus taking your calls. So if you haven't done so already, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're talking about the stories that we've discussed so far on this show. We also got our eyes on the White House waiting for the Syrian leader, is what they're telling us to call him, make his way into the White House. He is supposed to be there now, running possibly a little behind, but we will bring that to you once he makes his way in. But for now, in the meantime, of course, we're going to take some of your calls. I know some of you have been waiting for a very long time, so let's start at the very top. Adam in Fort Worth, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you on. What is on your mind?
I've been listening to this show to Alex Jones for 17 years, and I bought some items from the InfoWars store, the Alex Jones store, some tinfoil hat kit, a hat, and a t-shirt, autism. Extra strength autism, and I'm very satisfied with those items, and I'm on a fixed income, and I can still purchase things from thealexjonesstore.com, so if anybody should do it. But my question is, not a question, it's just, we were over, the Democrats under Obama were trying to overthrow Syria for years. I mean, they used false flags, John Kerry, I remember that in 2012, and all these, and we put the enemy in U.S.-backed Al-Qaeda, CIA-backed Al-Qaeda, and we funded them in the 80s after in the 90s. And I just think, why are we putting up with this? I mean, why do you think Trump's allowing to meet with this guy? You would think he wouldn't put up with it. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I honestly, Adam, am really disappointed because I don't understand why we're allowing this to happen. We just had a $10 million bounty on his head a little over a year ago. And so to go from that to this is pretty gut-wrenching. I think maybe there's a deal that they're probably cooking up. Maybe they'll announce something probably to do with the military base, if I just had a guess. Of course, my opinion, and I don't have any inside information on that, but I'm assuming it's probably a military base is where we're going with that, but I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's worth it. I think that especially on the 250th birthday of the Marine Corps, I don't think that you celebrate by allowing this person into the White House at all. He is an evil man. He is someone who is obviously has declared his loyalty to spreading Islam and conquering. And so, again, they use violence. Like, why would we allow someone like this? And the Christians who were just slaughtered in Syria just a few months ago, we saw it all play out on social media. What does this mean? I mean, you know, President Trump's doing a great job at speaking up and being an advocate for those. Oh, yeah, there is. There you go. Reuters breaking that there's probably going to be an airbase. Interesting. But, you know, just to highlight this again and again, we sit here and talk about the Christians in Nigeria who are being slaughtered. You know, I've got a reporter who we are hopefully going to have on soon who's literally there right now. The internet service, though, isn't the best, but I want him on the show. But I cheerleaded and I celebrated for the president when he said that he was going to save those Christians. But what about those in Syria? We look the other way on that. And, of course, our government was a part of all of this, of course. But I don't think we voted for a president to be in line with whatever the CIA's agenda was in that. So, yeah, I don't know. It's extremely discouraging. But every time I see, you know, the Syria's name pop up in alliance with this administration, I see that we're advocating for them to get their sanctions taken away over at the UN as well. We are also removing sanctions. When I see what's going on with the access that Qatar now has, I'm seeing what's the Saudi Arabia leaders are obviously doing and how they're coming into the United States. I don't like any of it. I don't like any of it. You know, people over there have declared war against us, and we have just time and time again looked the other way, thinking that these people want to do business with us, but they don't. They don't. So, Adam, yeah, it's a bit discouraging on my end, I have to say. And I try my best to be as fair as possible. I do. But thank you for calling, Adam. We appreciate your time, and we appreciate your support over at thealexjonesstore.com. And, in fact, I have to go grab a couple more hoodies, too, so I'll do that. Probably right after the show, of course. But I want to go to Concerned Citizen as well, because I see that you are very like-minded on the topic. So let's go there. Concerned Citizen, what is on your mind?
Well, good morning, Brianna. Good morning. First of all, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
The nascent iodine, let's do a plug real quick. The nascent iodine is one of the best products you guys have ever put out. I've used it for over 10 years.
Uh-huh.
But the methylene blue has now surpassed that. So. Those two items are awesome. If anybody hasn't got them, get out there and do it.
Thank you for that.
The ostriches up there, what a sad story that was. Just goes to show you where we're headed. Now, as far as the resident of Syria coming to town, I told your guy there that if you pull up some old photos of Jihad John and put them side by side with this guy, I think we found our culprit.
Yeah, possibly.
It's 20 eyes and his stature. He's a pretty big guy. But if you remember those days, looks like the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nothing surprises me. I just don't understand why we allow it. I'm sure we'll get the picture up soon. I just don't understand why we even allow this. There you go.
Well, it's pretty obvious the bankers are financing both sides and have been for the whole time. So.
Yeah.
That's why we're dealing with this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's nothing that I want. And it's just, he's playing, there was a video that was posted online. I don't know if you saw this, but of him playing basketball with our service members, like high up officials. I mean, I don't even know how we allow that. We pretend like this is okay. This guy has declared war on us. Like what are we doing here? There's nothing worth it. There's nothing worth it. And there, it's just such a, especially today being it's the 250th birthday of the Marines, obviously. This is not something that I want to see, and I don't celebrate it. But we're obviously going to watch it and be fair and balanced and bring it to you when it begins. But again, I just want to make it clear, I don't support this. And I think that this is a real mistake and a misstep on the Trump administration's behalf. You might be onto something. And they have biometrics, so they would know better than anyone. They could run his eyes, and they'd be able to tell us, truthfully. They'd be able to tell us. But what a joke for these Islamists, these terrorists who have declared war on the West, to sit here and watch what's about to unravel today. You know that they're all just laughing. How stupid America is. How stupid. How stupid. This is exactly what's happening behind closed doors. So really not surprising. Really not surprising. Let's turn to Sean, Rhode Island. Sean, I hear you have something in regards to stamps, or is that SNAP's benefits? I can't see if the screen's far away. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Brianna. You're the best.
Thank you, Sean.
I'm a mailman. I walk down the street every day. I put mail in mailboxes, and the SNAP benefits that are not being paid, I can definitely see a transition in the people's mentality, and it's absolutely unbelievable what I've been seeing the last couple of weeks over here in this hellhole that they call Rhode Island.
Yeah, I'm sure. What are people saying though about it specifically? When you're talking to people, are they talking about this?
100%. Like, you know, you see all the videos that are on TikTok and X and this, that, and the other about people robbing. We're getting real close to that date. Like, it's going to happen in the next couple of days.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like they're going to have the funding soon. I know I've seen the reports that they say that they're close to possibly being, you know, good to go on that. So we'll keep our eye on it. But again, yeah, I mean, there are people who need it. And I truly believe that those people, those Americans, I hate saying people, Americans should 1,000% have access to it. But again, I mean, there are so many people who have taken advantage of it, and it's gut wrenching to continue to see. But you know, I'm on board with all of this. I think it's time that for those who need it, they need to have access to these benefits. Our elderly, our disabled, absolutely. But now would be a great time to get rid of those who have abused the system. We're watching all these videos on TikTok, and it's just so infuriating. I could probably play them every day on the show. I just choose not to because it will really send people over the edge. But how, you know, you're a working person. I'm a working person. We all work for a living to support our families and those that we love and ourselves. And so to sit here and watch people who have to take advantage of the system and are getting a chunk of our taxpayer money because they just don't want to work, it's infuriating. But yeah, no, I agree. We need to keep those who actually need help in our prayers, and just remind them, go to church, go to whatever you guys can to gain access. A lot of food banks that also have access as well. So, I would highly recommend everyone going there. So that's just my suggestion. Sean, thank you for calling and thank you for waiting on hold. We appreciate it. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. We're going to keep diving into stories, flipping back and forth and keeping our eye on the White House as well. But I wanted to hit this story because I know I discussed it earlier. Clip 7, Harmy Dillon sat down with Catherine Heritage, who's independent these days. As many of you guys know, the government targeted her, of course, for being such a truth seeker. And here she is now independent, of course. But I wanted to remind you guys all about that horrific stabbing that took place in North Carolina on that train. As many of you guys know, the individual who's accused of committing that act, obviously we saw him. So I say accused lightly, of course, but he does have the presumptions of innocence until proven guilty. The suspect himself is DeCarlos Brown Jr. He is accused of killing the Iranian refugee. Well, it now looks like, according to Harmeet, we'll play the clip, that they are now looking over the DOJ to investigate this as a hate crime, given the comments that were made in the aftermath of her stabbing. Take a listen to how Harmeet details just that.
On August 22nd, a Ukrainian refugee, Irina Zarudska, was stabbed to death on mass transit. Is the Civil Rights Division investigating Irina Zarudska's murder?
The United States Department of Justice Civil Rights Division works hand in hand with the U.S. Attorney's offices around the country. There are 94 of them. And so the day that happened, the next day, I think I did speak to the U.S. Attorney. U.S. Attorney is working with us on that. We are gathering evidence. We are in touch with the FBI about the interview of the suspect in that case. He's entitled to his presumption of innocence, of course. But we are investigating it as a potential hate crime due to the remarks made by the defendant.
I was just going to ask you, in the security video, it's alleged that the defendant, DeCarlos Brown Jr., can be heard muttering, "I got that white girl." Have your investigators been able to confirm that he made that statement?
I can't comment on the evidence that we've uncovered, but I will say that any incident involving apparent racial animus is investigated by the DOJ as a potential hate crime.
Interesting to hear all of that. Of course, we're keeping our eye on it, but that's the first time we've got the confirmation that this is being looked at as a potential hate crime. As many of you guys know, I've told you on this show, the suspect has suffered with schizophrenia for many years. It's well documented. He has been professionally treated, obviously not efficiently enough, but through the criminal justice system, they just continue to throw these people, not even justice system anymore, the system that allows criminals, violent criminals, to continue to reoffend, they throw him back onto the streets. But he does, according to his sister, have a history of having these schizophrenic attacks. Sadly, his sister was also on the receiving end of one of his attacks as well. So we'll continue to follow it as it goes through. The DOJ also seeking the death penalty, it looks like, in that case as well. Pam Bondi floating that idea out there. So we'll continue to follow it. I wanted to shift gears, though, to the DHS, because DHS is weighing in on potentially using bounty hunters for illegal aliens. The Trump administration is considering a bounty hunter program to locate and apprehend illegal aliens, which would reward any type of successful captures per a federal contracting site. And this was posted, it looks like, on October 31st. DHS and ICE posted a request for information on the government's online contracting portal to potentially have any access to these private bounty hunters, these firms. So that's a really interesting angle to all of this. Why not? Why not allow bounty hunters to go out there and help ICE, especially given the fact that we know Democrats are doing their best to try to stop ICE agents from receiving funding? You might as well go out there if you got some bounty hunters willing to help out. So, yeah, I'd say that sounds like a great idea. We'll continue to follow it, of course, as that develops. I want to go to clip 14 for you guys because we just got this in. DHS has done an incredible job at going through all the lies that the left spewing about what ICE is doing and how they're making these arrests. And they now do these segments where they show the media's reporting on it, the corporate media lies, and then they offer the rebuttal. But most importantly, they show you the evidence. Like, we've seen the clips before of, you know, these so-called peaceful protesters being attacked by ICE agents, but they show you a snippet. And then ICE goes and gets the whole footage, and they give you the full update as to what was actually happening. So let's take a look at clip 14 and what they're debunking right now.
Hi, I'm Lauren Biss, Deputy Assistant Secretary at the Department of Homeland Security. And I'm here to set the record straight on a few fake news stories from this week. First, we have the LA Times reporting that our law enforcement officers arrested a father and drove off with his baby. Let me tell you what is missing from this headline. While Border Patrol conducted a targeted immigration enforcement operation, a U.S. citizen exited his vehicle wielding a hammer and threw rocks at law enforcement while he had a child in his car. He was arrested for assault, and during his arrest, a pistol, which was stolen out of the state of New York, was found in his car. The individual also has an active warrant for property damage. Next on the list, we have a fake news story almost all major outlets in local Chicago media ran with, that ICE raided a daycare to arrest a preschool teacher. ICE law enforcement did not target a daycare. Officers attempted to conduct a targeted traffic stop of this female illegal alien from Colombia. Officers attempted to pull over this vehicle, which was registered to a female illegal alien with sirens and emergency lights. But the male driver refused to pull the vehicle over. Law enforcement pursued the vehicle before the illegal alien sped into a shopping plaza where he and the female passenger fled the vehicle. They ran into a daycare and attempted to barricade themselves inside, recklessly endangering the children inside. The illegal alien female was arrested inside a vestibule, not in the daycare. Let me be clear. ICE is not targeting daycares or schools.
All right, as we broke that story to you guys yesterday, actually, no, sorry, Friday, with Dan Lyman, our InfoWars reporter, he debunked that. That's why you watch InfoWars, because, of course, we sift through the lies and we tell you the truth. And that's exactly what Dan Lyman does every single day over at the InfoWars.com website itself. But I want to get back to your calls. We're switching back and forth. We're keeping our eye again on the White House. I'll bring that to you once it begins. But I want to go to Carrie in Kentucky, because, Carrie, it sounds like you have a lot to say in regards to the 20 pardons that were released. Last night we saw, you know, Ed Martin drop the list, and I was very excited for this. So welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Brianna.
Good morning.
Thank you. I follow you, and then I also follow Jenna Ellis.
Yeah.
And I was listening to her show this morning, and you could just tell in her voice that she was so ecstatic mm-hmm. about the presidential pardon from President Trump, and also from the other, I think it was 20 of them, I believe. Mm-hmm. I saw another post on X, and that's what's prompted me to call. Mm-hmm. It looks, even though Trump has pardoned him, it looks like the state of Arizona may still pursue to prosecute these people. Mm-hmm. And my take on it is, doesn't a presidential pardon Trump, no pun intended, Trump the state's prosecution, his pardon, doesn't it trump the state's prosecution? I don't know if you are answer that.
I can break that down for you. Absolutely. Okay. So, we actually have the clip too, and I'm going to go back to that so we can play that for you too. But it's a great question. I'm glad you actually asked it. Well, first off, good to hear that Jenna Ellis is grateful for that. I don't like how she treated President Trump or the members, obviously, who were her co-defendants as well. None of them did anything wrong, and there was no reason to throw them under the bus or issue an apology or admit guilt when there was no guilt of any crimes. And I know this because I spoke to patriots on the phone who were co-defendants, and all of them said, even lawyers, said, no, we're not going to take a plea deal because President Trump did nothing wrong. And so I was actually shocked to see her name on the list, but President Trump obviously not holding back in any type of remorse or any type of hatred towards her. So that was good to see. I also want to highlight too, the Arizona AG, as you mentioned, at the fake electors case, she's been slapped with a lot of losses on the court side of all of this because she was saying that these were fake electors, even though that was not true. And so now the Arizona AG, Chris Mays, in clip one, is now more welcoming of the decision possibly to not continue to prosecute these individuals. Take a listen to that clip.
I want to end with the next 2 weeks. You have a decision to make on the so-called fake electors case. Supreme Court has said either you appeal it or it is gone. It is over. What are you going to do?
So I'm not going to announce that on your show.
A Maricopa County judge's ruling in May delivered a serious setback to May's prosecutors. If she doesn't decide to keep going by November 21st, the Arizona Supreme Court will toss out the case.
The one thing I do know for sure, Bram, is that I am so proud of the prosecutors and investigators in the Attorney General's office, and I'm proud of the work we did on that case.
Similar fake electors prosecutions in other states, stemming from alleged attempts to subvert Joe Biden's election victory in 2020, are also on thin ice.
You told me about a month or two ago when I asked you the same question in very strong terms. Isn't standing up for democracy important enough?
Exactly.
And so it sounded to me like you weren't going to give it up.
I mean, look, I certainly don't want to give it up. It is certainly not something that I want to do.
Okay, so Carrie, as you heard there, it's not looking good for her. She is likely going to have to drop this case, and I'm excited for that to happen. There's a bunch of people on that list who I'm personally friends with, and they are great people, and I cannot wait, because usually when it's ongoing investigation, you have to hold off and you can't do media, but they have wanted to speak out and in their own defense for quite some time now, and they haven't been able to do that. So once they are officially done with this persecution, we have many people who are going to be coming on this show to talk and speak out and detail what's been happening behind the scenes. But I'm glad you brought that up because it's really important, Carrie, that we talk about that because so many people were targeted. And the financial burden, too, on top of everything else, has completely devastated a lot of these people. So once that is final, Carrie, we'll have some of those people on this show to speak out because they were wronged by the Arizona AG. And so we look forward to giving them a platform. Carrie, I have about 30 seconds if there's anything else you wanted to say before we wrap.
It made sense to me. I figured these people were probably under a court gag order to where they couldn't defend. So, yes, I appreciate that. But, just keep doing what you're doing, Brianna. You do a great job. All y'all at InfoWars.
Thank you. Yeah, we try our very best. And we're trying to be fair and balanced when it comes to these things. I know a lot of people don't like hearing both sides of an argument or both sides of a story. But I do my best to try to tell you everything. So if you ever have to go out there and debate those on the left, you know in advance what they're going to tell you. So thank you, Carrie. We appreciate that. Folks, if you haven't done so already, you can give us a call. I'm going to be going through the calls, obviously, in the next half of the show as well. So if you're on hold, stay put. I'm trying this new thing out where we pop over a couple of stories. You go back to the callers. We'll see how it goes. You can let me know, of course, if you're on X as well. Give me a shout on a tweet. We appreciate to hear from you, of course. But if you haven't done so already, you want to call in, give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. And again, let me remind you, we have an incredible sale going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. So when you head on over there, take a look around. It's 25% off site wide. And it's our early Black Friday Cyber Monday sale. And we have that buy one, get one free on methylene blue. It's only going on for a couple more hours. We got the clock up on the top of the website. So don't miss out. Now is the time to do just that. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. All right, when we come back, I'll detail that story that I did tease for you in regards to President Trump issuing a directive to the State Department to not allow those who are overweight into the country. Obviously, he didn't put it in terms like that. That's me just being a jerk. But it's people who have issues regarding diabetes and other issues. He doesn't want them to come to the U.S. to try to get some free medical services here. I'll break that down for you in just a few moments. Head on over again, galaxjonesstore.com. Download the app if you haven't done so either. And I'll be right back in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes five, six times when I'm talking to him, please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago, and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist, New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we could clean up San Francisco and L.A. anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, ha, 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 ha. And as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, ah! And they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 million people. And all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it. And they believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us. final lap of the show for today. We got a lot still to cover. So buckle in tight. If you've called us, stay on hold. We're going to try to work our way through the entire list, of course, but I wanted to get to some news that just happened a moment ago for you MAHA lovers out here. This is a big one. RFK Jr. announced that the FDA is beginning to remove the broad black box warnings from hormone replacement therapies, it looks like, or going to initiate that. Let's take a listen to the announcement that was just made moments ago.
For more than two decades, the American medical establishment turns its back on women. Millions of women were told to fear the very therapy that could have given them strength, peace, and dignity through one of life's most difficult transitions, menopause. That ends today. The FDA is initiating the removal of a broad black box warnings from hormone replacement therapy products for menopause. We're challenging outdated thinking and recommitting to evidence-based medicine that empowers rather than restricts. When prescribed responsibly and started early, hormone replacement therapy transforms the lives of women. Hormone replacement therapy has been found to reduce the risks of cardiovascular disease and mortality by as much as 50%. Alzheimer's disease by 35%, bone fractures by 50 to 60%, as well as reducing cognitive decline and all-cause mortality. In other words, extending the lives for as much as 10 years.
Okay, so that's good to hear. At least they're, you know, changing up the way they do things around there over at HHS, and we're excited to hear that. We'll continue to follow it as it develops. But I want to pop over to another story that just, you know, it keeps continues to develop. As many of you guys know, Jeff Clark, friend of mine, an incredible patriot who was just pardoned late last night by President Donald J. Trump, says that he received a phone call, and he says this on X Friday night from President Trump. He called me and told me that he was going to pardon me on the federal level, of course, saying it was totally unexpected and I never lobbied for any form of pardon. Of course, the president has a way of doing just that. You know, Jeff Clark was someone who was heavily targeted, still is to this day. And he's fighting the good fight. They're also trying to disbar him in Washington, D.C. He's pushing back, of course. But, you know, he goes into detail about the battle he's had to take on. And then he, you know, is really in need. Not only just prayers, but he also needs donations to his legal fight because it's very expensive. They've tried to wipe out Jeff Clark. And so that's what this tweet is all about. Again, he's giving thanks to President Trump for the pardon, which the pardon would terminate the lawfare totally, but it doesn't. Again, they are seeking to disbar him. And if you're looking to help out Jeff Clark, it's givesendgo.com/Jeff Clark. That's where he's looking to receive some assistance in this ongoing battle. So happy for Jeff. It's just not over, sadly. Also, breaking news that we wanted to get to, the Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case addressing whether states may count ballots that arrive after Election Day. The RNC and Mississippi Libertarian Party challenged the state's law permitting the counting of ballots postmarked by Election Day. And they're saying that they should arrive within 5 days, of course, and they're now challenging that. So that's good news. This is a big one. So the Supreme Court's going to hear this case. This is one of the many things that Democrats, of course, do to try to push back and to steal our elections. So this is a fight that's worth fighting, and it's good to see the Supreme Court at least taking this one up. As you know, our elections continue to be under siege. I want to also point to you to the story that I've been teasing all day today. President Trump apparently sending over a directive to the State Department. Now, according to this report, they are looking for President Trump, or President Trump's looking for them to possibly reject those with medical conditions on grounds that they could be a domestic health, or they could take in domestic health care resources. Specifically, it's people who have possibly certain cancers, diabetes, mental health conditions, respiratory diseases, heart issues. He wants them to potentially reject those people because, of course, a lot of people come to the U.S. for free health care who don't live in this country. I remember when I was living in New York, we had so many stories, people going crazy saying, why are we doing this to ourselves? So again, we'll continue to follow that story as well. All right, I'm going to go back to taking some calls right this moment. Let's turn to, who's the recent one? All right, Leslie in Nevada. Welcome to the show, Leslie.
Hi, Brianna. Great to talk to you again.
Great to have you on the phone today, Leslie. Thank you for calling in.
Of course. First, I really want to talk about how much I love the Optimal Human Superfood Green when it's combined with methylene blue in a cup of coffee and a vitamin C and zinc. That's my breakfast every morning, and I tell you what, I couldn't run a farm without it. It's amazing.
I love to hear that. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Leslie. We appreciate it, of course. And folks, now's a good time to re-up if you need it. It's 25% off site-wide over at thealexjonesstore.com. So thank you for that, Leslie. I know a lot of people would love that information, of course. But I hear you have some other things you'd like to talk about, so I'll let you take the floor.
Absolutely. Witches for Trump is really upset about all the chemtrailing going on in the Las Vegas Valley. Mm-hmm. I recommend that anybody coming to Las Vegas right now not go outside. It's early in our morning, about, you know, an hour later than you, but we've already got streaking, these long, smeary gray clouds, and we're not supposed to have any cloud cover at all this time of year in Nevada. Mm-hmm. Our flag is blue because that's the color of our sky, supposedly 360 days out of the year. But since the geoengineering started, our weather looks almost like West Virginia or Atlanta, Georgia. And it shouldn't look that way because we don't have that kind of green space here in the desert. It should be clear. Mm-hmm. And what worries me really significantly is this chemically induced rain is falling on damaged soils and especially Lake Mead. All of Las Vegas sewer goes into Lake Mead to be cleaned and recycled and piped back into Las Vegas. That's why those people are crazy. That water is so toxic. We found another 50 cremated piles of dead bodies lying about in Lake Mead that had to be scooped up and disposed of. There's so much filthy stuff going on with the water that I can't believe that we're actually paying our good tax dollars to filthy up our air and water even more. And I know that Kennedy has spoken out against this. I know that Jones has talked about the chemtrailing stopping, but it's going on harder than ever in Las Vegas. And it's dangerous. There are so many people out here with COPD, and yes, we have problems with dust, but our biggest issue is dust falling out of the sky on top of our heads. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of aluminum and barium. And barium is B-A, aluminum is A-L. I know it sounds crazy, but as a witch, I know this is important. It spells Baal. They're literally dumping a satanic deity powder on top of us. It's making us crazy, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we all hear about the problems with aluminum. Well, the aluminum is raining out of the sky. We don't have to get it from our skillets anymore. It's falling down on top of us. The bees have Alzheimer's so bad, they can't get back to their little hives. There's no problem as dangerous and as imperative as the geoengineering, because they are literally bombing us with nanoparticulate matter that's going to make us so stupid that we can't fight back. That is the plan. That's why all the vaccines are designed to make us stupid. And the food is addicted to make us stupid. The media makes us stupid. It's because you can't run a Western society unless your population has an average IQ of 100.
Yeah.
And they dumbed us all down, those stupid vaccine shots. Between the fluoride and the vaccine, most Americans who were born between 1954 and 1970 lost almost 30 IQ points. Do you know what most people can do with 30 IQ points? You'll be as smart as Elon Musk if you had an extra 30, because I know you're probably 120 already, right?
I don't know. I haven't gotten tested. My parents did test me, though. They told me it was high, but they don't have any proof of how high I got. They did in elementary school, though. But yeah, I would love to know. And you know, I just want to piggyback on that. First off, you're 1,000% right. And my friend, mm-hmm. I was at the supermarket with my friend, and I only get organic. And she's like, "Oh, it doesn't even matter anymore, Brianna. Everything's in the air. It doesn't matter." And I'm like, "Oh, you're so right." I'm seeing like, and it's like so frustrating because we want to make healthier choices for ourselves and our personal health, but we can't. But we can't, because the reality of it is they've just now flooded us with all these chemicals. And it's really upsetting. You know, I have a great friend, Darla Shine, who's constantly covering this on X, all of the chem issues that we have right now, the chemtrails. And it's just, it's gut-wrenching. But, you know, it's interesting, too, to see everyone's comparison to chemtrails now, the government shut down to what they were prior to the government being funded. And so there's definitely something there, Leslie. I don't think it's a crazy idea. I know a lot of my friends, when I start talking about this, they think it's crazy. I don't think it's crazy. I think they're intentionally doing this to us.
Well, okay. And so the problem we have, especially here in Nevada, is we have something called the DRI Institute. Desert Research Institute, DRI. It's out of Reno. And that's where the funding is coming from to keep up with the geoengineering. Because I've noticed the plane activity here around Las Vegas hasn't died down like it has in other places. And I know that Vegas is we are the Harry Reid corruption machine here in Vegas, and nobody needs to make any sort of bones about it. It is corrupt from stem to stern. It was started by the mob, and it's continued by the government mob. And those planes are flying on schedule here. I don't know where the DRI Institute gets their money, but somebody needs to look into it because they're the ones trashing our atmosphere. And people wonder why, when they come to Las Vegas, they get such terrible hangovers. I mean, yeah, they're being served cheap booze, right, but they're drinking this nasty, overfiltered water, and they are running around under these geoengineered skies. Mm-hmm. And the combination of loading up on bad toxic foods, because that's what everybody does when they come to Vegas. They all crap they're not supposed to eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drink everything they're not supposed to drink and do everything they're not supposed to do. And that pulls their immune system down to the point where when this geoengineering starts settling down on them, when they're outside at night, right, partying because it's finally a little bit cooler outside, and that's when they get that dose. When you look out into the night sky in Nevada, it looks like you're in a snow globe.
Mm.
There is so much matter falling, and we can't hide from it. There is no ventilation system that we can slap on our face that's going to keep us from nanoparticulate pollution if we can't walk around in one of those hazmat suits with negative air pressure, because that's what it would take. We're soaking it up in our skin. We wonder why we're wrinkling faster. If you've got nanoparticulate aluminum seeping into your skin, tearing up your collagen, of course that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Unless we stop the geoengineering, nothing else matters. Because like Kennedy said, the only dream of a sick person is to get healthy. The only dream of a sick planet is to get healthy. And it starts with stopping them dumping this filth in our skies. Why can't we just, who is it that doesn't have the huevos to just go out and shut this stuff down? Who are we so afraid of?
Yeah.
Death is a lie anyway. We're all going to be eternal as soon as we ditch this meat suit. Thank you, Jesus. So what are we scared of? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Why won't someone stand up?
Yeah, Leslie, I don't know why. I think we have a conglomerate of cowards who make their way into these elected positions, and they don't have the cojones to stick up for the American people. And Leslie, I'm all on board for what you just said there. I mean, this is definitely something that should be a top issue. And one would think, given the MAHA movement, that this is. And so I do hope public pressure really does push back on that one. Thank you for calling, Leslie. It's great talking with you again. And we really appreciate you calling into the show, of course. So thank you for that. Let's turn to Paul in Fort Lauderdale. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
That last caller was very, very, like, kind of what I wanted to talk about. Like, it changed direction, like, But when I just want to follow up, actually, like she was saying, people that get hangovers and stuff, I mean, it is kind of your choice too. You know what I mean? Like, you're in control of your actions of drinking and stuff. So it's like,
yeah,
there's no excuse for that. And also, if you don't want your skin, you shouldn't shower. You don't have to shower that much at all. Like, the less you shower, it's just easier. Your skin looks better.
And I don't know. I might have to push back on that one. We work in a very close proximity, so everyone in the control room right now, daily showers are a requirement here.
true. But over time, your body just kind of knows what to do. Like, you know, like you can just get natural sprays. You know, I know it's hard for females, like my girlfriend, but she's been with me, you know, like she doesn't shower as much, and she's noticed all her, you know, her acne. Everything has just shifted, you know. It's like, you know, like you shouldn't even touch the city water, you know, wear gloves, wear a hoodie when you're out in the sun. And then it comes to the cross to the point where, you know, organic, you know, I've actually been a raw, like I'm 25. I've been a raw vegan since I was 16. You know, I don't eat any cooked food. I love you mentioned green tea when I was watching it. I was like, green tea.
I know, I drink it raw. I don't even put sugar in it.
I hate that feeling when you miss it, you know. But I try not to miss it. I drink it. I mean, I've been drinking it every day for like 6 years.
That's good.
And I'm like 25. Like, I'm Generation Gen Z, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
But I would say, yes, it's just hard to get like organic. I get it. But if you want to trick it, you know, like fasting for like, you know, 18 to 20 hours, like your body can like kind of reset. It kind of just knows what to do. Like, you know, breatharians, they start to, I know you can't go without food, but like, there's something, the less you eat, your body just, it's insane. You don't lose muscle. You kind of just like stay the same, but that's a whole other thing. But then also,
I know, I'm going to say, you want to talk about Gen Z.
There's so much, I know, there's just so much stuff that's all loaded and who knows what's actually going on. And
yeah.
It's just crazy. But like, comes across, I will get there, but I just, it follows up right now what I'm speaking about actually, because it changed my direction on all this, but,
mm-hmm.
and I just drove from California. You know, I lived in Hollywood Hills for 5 years, and I just moved to, and I drove across country and to Florida. And it's crazy, you know, like every gas station, I literally cannot find anything organic. I can't find any food. It's like nothing but poison. And they look at me like I'm the crazy one.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They're looking at me literally like I'm the crazy one. And I'm like, where's the food at? And they're rolling their eyes at me.
Well, you know, Paul, I'm a Delray Beach girl, so I was about 20 minutes north of you back when I lived in Florida just a couple of months ago, I go to the farmer's market, and everything, nothing was organic, so I know what you're saying when you talk about that. It was quite strange.
And I'm like, wait, this is this, from Mexico, this is the same barcode. So you're telling me there's not even farmer's market. They go to the supermarket and set up a stand and call it a farmer's market.
I know. It's so discouraging because you want to support it's local, so, but like, it's not local.
No, it's crazy. It's just like every nut filled with seeds. Like, I know Kennedy, whoever is in charge, who the hell knows what's going on between who's in the house? And I don't even get there, but like, you know, how Kennedy said he's going to start with, you know, like, or Trump said he's going to ban fat people.
Like, I the visas.
I'm fat phobic. Don't get me wrong, but let's go to the reason, like, what's happening. Like, there's poison everywhere. It's a drug.
Yeah.
These people are addicted to it. They're not, like, even themselves anymore.
Yeah.
You know, my parents have suffered. I come from, my whole family suffers from addiction and all that. Like, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I know how they, I mean, I've never did it myself, but my mom was a recovering crack. You know, heroin, I know what it's like. The foods are just like that. Like, she's recovered now. The foods are drugs, and these people aren't even in their state, like, right state of mind. You know,
yeah.
Like, Russell Brand and Alex Jones were talking about, or Alex Jones was talking about, like, how leaders, you know, leaders, we don't pay them any attention because we're leaders, you know? And there's so many people that just don't lead older folks, you know?
Yeah.
They're not leading us. Like, if you're in a nicer house and a nicer car, teach me how you got that. Don't roll your eyes at me.
Yeah. Well, Paul, well, thank you for calling. I mean, this, it's always a good conversation. You know, I'm a Maha fan these days too. So, it's good to have a conversation about how we could make food healthier for Americans, and the lack of resources that we do have. So thank you, Paul, for that. All right. Let's get to Bundy in Jacksonville. I guess everyone's from Florida right now. Bundy from Jacksonville. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I was hearing you earlier trying to figure out a good term for the system, the justice system, mm-hmm. the correction system. But we've been calling it a long time the collection system, because all they want is to collect money either from the taxpayers, the inmates themselves, the inmates' families.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's overpriced, phone calls, just the cost of staying there. And if it wasn't about money, then why are the ICE people treated better? I did 21 months of federal time recently after the J6 incident. And they wouldn't even give us free soap or shampoos or anything, but the ICE detainees, they got everything. Tablets, soaps, commissary, I mean, they got everything.
But yeah, was that when you were at the federal, were you at federal facilities when that happened, or was that local D.C.?
Oh, no. Well, I was in local D.C. for about a month. I had caught another charge when the feds raided my house. They hit me with 922G. So they found a little marijuana in my garage. So they said I was an illegal possessor, a prohibited possessor of my firearms.
Mm.
So because of a roach, they gave me a year and a half in.
That's wild.
And a year out.
I'm sorry, Bunker. That's horrible.
But yeah, it's all federal. They bounced me around like 10 times in the 21 months I was there.
That's really sad. I'm sure you're watching that Supreme Court case. I believe the Supreme Court's taking up a case very similar to that, if I remember correctly, in regards to firearms and whether people who use marijuana can obtain a firearm. I think that's, I'm getting that right. I think that's.
Oh, yeah. Similar. Yeah, I think I was either just getting out of prison or still in prison when the same Department of Justice said that there was no prosecutor that would have ever prosecuted Hunter Biden for being a crackhead and owning guns when, you know, I just smoked a little weed.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yep. We'll consider it. Yeah. No, I mean, that's disgusting in itself. And I hate to hear that happen to you. We need a massive overhaul of our current, prison system. I mean, you know, sadly, a good friend of mine, Bernie Carrick, passed away a couple months ago, but he was somebody who was really passionate about that and was very excited for Trump to get elected because he wanted to fix the system. He knew firsthand when they went after him. I always say he was law victim number one, but they went after him after George W. Bush tried to appoint him or nominated him to run DHS, and then they shot that down. They went after him and persecuted him. He saw firsthand when they abused him, put him in solitary confinement, how corrupt the system was, and he wanted to correct it. I'm going to continue to apply pressure to the DOJ because the DOJ runs the Bureau of Prisons, and we cannot allow those who mistreated J6ers to get away with all of this. And again, we'll have Stuart Rhodes in studio tomorrow, too, who could talk about all of this as well. But the fact that people are trying to sue, J6ers are trying to sue for what happened to them in prison, and sadly, our own DOJ is saying that they have immunity when it comes to constitutional related issues. It's gross. And they're trying to get those lawsuits, that one lawsuit dismissed. So yeah, I mean, I'm all on board for this. I think we need to do a massive overhaul of our, justice system itself. But most importantly, when we're putting people in prison, in jails, we need to make sure that we're not treating them poorly. People who are accused of crimes that are not, egregious crimes, people who are supposed to be, you know, correcting their behaviors and trying to make sure that they are put on the right path and given the tools to do just that. I mean, that's the idea, as you said, of the correction system, but they're not doing any correcting. And, you know, I'm talking to those who were there in federal custody for quite some time, and I'm sure you're aware of this probably too. Maybe you experienced this, they said that it was actually the easiest to get drugs and to get alcohol in the prisons itself was the cartels had a massive grip on the control of that and the flow of drugs coming into the prisons. So again, that's something that no one really talks about, how they use drones to get those things into the jails itself, the prisons themselves. But the federal government needs to do massive amount of correction because, you know, when you're sitting in federal custody, you should have access to soaps. You should have access to healthy foods. We should be at least doing just that to make sure that people, when they come out, they are reformed and not getting brought back into the system. But again, it's a whole profit system, too, that's really corrupt, and it really needs someone who's dedicated to fixing it. So, Bundy, thank you for calling the show. Folks, for all of you who called in today, I'm grateful for you doing just that. Thank you so much. We are short. We are out of time. I didn't even get to all of our stories today, but listen, I'll be back here again tomorrow, of course, bringing you a jam-packed three-hour show, as always. Stuart Rhodes will be joining me in studio, and he's got a lot to discuss in regards to the future of the Oath Keepers, in regards to how we make things right regarding the J6 persecutions. You know, I'm watching as Ed Martin is now speaking out and talking about what specifically he's working on doing. So we'll get Stewart's reaction to all of that. And Stewart's a Ivy League grad who actually was a criminal defense attorney, and they did all of this to him. So hearing his perspective on how we make things right will be very insightful, of course, and I'm sure all of you will look forward to that. So he will be here. I'll keep you updated as well on that J6 pipe bomber story on X. Give me a follow at Brianna Morello, of course. And we're going to follow what Steve Baker is doing as well. If we hear back from any of these three-letter agencies, I'll keep you posted, of course. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It is 25% off site-wide, of course. Black Friday early start to the sale. Also, buy one, get one free on Methylene Blue. Head on over there today. All right, guys, Alex is next on The Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere.
There is a white supremacy problem, and it's weird, old, elitist white people that are literally manipulating everybody, killing each other so they can stay in power. And it pisses me off when I sit there pissed off watching this, watching these wild-eyed, crazy people that want to kill me because what color I am. I know who brainwashed them. I know who wound them up. I know who sent them. I don't blame the dumbasses. No, I blame Carbo and John Podesta and the Clintons and Obama and the rest of them. That's who I blame. I know they got whistleblowers out the door at the DOJ. The problem is they don't have prosecutors with testicles to do the job. Can you feel the future? Can you feel the danger? Can you feel the destruction? I certainly do. But I don't think you dumbasses that serve evil do. See, you're in a new ball game. It's a new era. And you know what Thomas Jefferson said? The blood of patriots and tyrants waters the street of liberty. And I don't want that. And there's a good chance we can avoid a lot of that. But not according to the left. They are just whole hog. Let's get it on. And so, you know my view, I think it's your view, not out starting fights, not trying to get in trouble. But if people are looking for trouble, they came to the right place. If you want a war, you got one. If you have some need to be stomped into the ground, well, you came to the right place with the American people. Because America was asleep, and you thought we were intimidated while you pissed in our faces and did all this to us. No, people were asleep. The spell is lifted. It's over. You need to learn to look at a weather vane and see which way the wind blows. It's blowing against you. And this wind, this headwind, is unstoppable. The only question is, are you smart enough to understand that? Surrender is your only option. Surrender now. Give up now. Stop now.